The Brew and Mike Show is live from the DealsNadie.com studios. Today with Mark and Trudy from home, or is Trudy at iHeart today?
She's home.
She's home. All right.
Home.
How you sound today, Trudy?
Do I sound okay?
Yeah, boy. You sound overmodulated again.
What the hell is that?
Well, she was super low when we first connected, so there's a bunch of dial turning and fader sliding. How's it sound now, Trudy?
It sounds great to me.
It's better. No?
Yeah, it sounds a little better.
Oh, cool.
Brandon, how do you sound?
I sound fantastic.
Yeah, you do sound pretty good.
Oh,
what
great.
The fuck is going on?
I would say that the quality of the internet is different every day, depending on...
It's easy to hide behind a microphone, son.
Fucking
possibly
shit.
Usage, maybe?
You got a good mic. Is that
right,
our mic?
Right, but I'm thinking the internet is causing this.
Yeah, could be. Is that the mic? Did you buy that mic, Trudy?
No, I took it from iHeart.
Oh, iHeart has the same mics we have. Okay. Well, all right, so here we go, heading into Tuesday, and thanks to Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee, the serious brew will punch you in the face with double the caffeine of your typical cup. If you're a pussy, don't try Death Wish Coffee. If you're a badass, order it up at deathwishcoffee.com/drew, and then when you check out, use promo code DREW15 to save 15% in your entire order. And, of course, they did send a bunch of coffee to first responders who asked. All they did was ask. It's really
very
simple.
Nice. Very, very
really,
nice.
Very nice. So thank you, Death Wish Coffee. And thanks for sponsoring Facebook Live. And I was just reading about Pat Sajak because I thought he had a tweet that I really liked his tweet. And now I guess I'm an asshole because... I'm reading headlines and I'm going, this is not really what he said. They're saying, Pat Sajak questioned. Did anybody see the tweet, by the way?
No. I saw the TMZ story.
Okay.
Pat Sajak. It's funny, I kind of knew what the point of what he was saying without reading the story.
I totally understood it. He was saying, you know,
Giles?
Those of you listening to DJs and people working on television and whatnot saying, stay at home, we're all in this together. It's okay to question that. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's kind of silly people who are working, who are gainfully employed, telling people who are maybe worried about work or they want to go to work or their business or whatever it is, telling them, stay at home. And, you know, even the politicians who are telling us to stay at home aren't staying at home. They're flying to Quebec for Easter.
Don't feel good.
They're going to the Hamptons for Easter. Mm-hmm. They're doing stuff. They're stretching the rules, and that's why this thing is so half-ass, in my opinion. I was looking at the curves today for Spain, Italy, France, United States. Our curve is still way behind the other curves in terms of going downwards. Mm-hmm. And our death curve is also not really even flat yet.
Great.
So
did you see New York and New Jersey got passed by another subset of people as the biggest hotspot? Per capita, it's the Navajo Nation. You know, LaDuff had a member of the Navajo Nation on a few weeks ago, and he's like, we're not getting any help. No one cares about us. We pretty much accept it.
Yes, true.
I mean, they're fucked.
Well, yeah. What's happening with the Navajo Nation? I mean,
I don't know.
Why can't they get tested like everyone else?
Great question.
I mean, they can drive into a line, right? I mean, I'm not trying to blame them, but, you know, when somebody says, Navajo Nation left behind, I mean, part of me goes, is there supposed to be all testing set up on reservations? Or are they supposed to, you know, be like aren't they residents of the United States of America who can go get tested like the people that have it get tested?
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm just saying it's just like people in New York and New Jersey. It's just the new hot spot.
I read about
it. Is this America?
I read about Native Americans sometimes, and I get this really confusing feelings about it. Like, you know,
that they can't go off the reservation.
Pardon me?
That they can't go off the reservation.
Well, they can because they have casinos that we gave them and stuff.
Something I always wondered about Indians. Are they Mexicans?
But I was watching this piece. It was actually a documentary, and it was about how poorly educated, you know, schools are. And yet, you know, there's this demand that, you know, we do it. We have our own judicial system and we do everything ourselves. And it's like, well, I mean, with all the casinos and then people cheating to get on the casino rolls who really don't have any Native American. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot wrong there.
I saw that in Big Love on HBO.
Oh, did you?
Remember that plot line?
Yeah. No, I didn't watch it that much.
What? Take everything from movies, right, Trudy?
Right.
Because when you said that, my initial thought was to feel guilty, like, oh, we screwed someone else. You know, we're always screwing somebody in this country. And then my second thought was, why can't they go get a test? Is there some reason they can't get a test? I mean, whose fault is this?
I don't know. Yours. I don't know whose fault it is. I just thought it was intriguing.
I guess it doesn't matter whose fault it is. I mean, I don't know why I'm so stuck on the thought, the fault thing here. But
isn't it kind of funny, though?
Anytime the Native American world comes up, I mean, even Nathan Phillips, a Native American man was pounding his drum, and this kid, this smirking kid, wouldn't move.
But that fit a political narrative.
Yeah, well, he's wearing a MAGA hat.
The only time we really think about Native Americans are A, when you're going to one of their casinos, or B, when, you know, the Redskins logo comes up in a conversation. Honestly, no one. When's the last time anybody thinks about it?
Thanksgiving.
Land O'Lakes.
Land O'Lakes. Yeah. Well, what a job they did. Well, anyway, I thought the tweet was. I thought it was a nice. I liked the tweet. You know, maybe that's my own inclination, but I just thought it was not a neutral tweet necessarily, but it didn't say, when people tell you to stay at home, stay the fuck at home. And he didn't say, get out there and go to the beach with 100 friends. He just said, it's okay to question it. When these people who are working on the radio and television tell you to stay at home, it's okay to question it.
But I think he hit the nail on the head, though, when people are like, yeah, I'm not wearing a mask. It kind of goes a little bit too far sometimes, maybe.
But he said, it's okay to question.
Sure.
He didn't say, go out, don't wear a mask, go to a stadium.
He's also not saying everything they tell you is fake news and a lie either.
He didn't say, no, he didn't.
No, I
thought it was very restrained.
I liked his tweet. I thought it was good.
I really did too. So here's the headlines. Wheel of Fortune host Pat Sajak slams stay-at-home orders.
Pat Giles?
What's that? Where's that from? Just out of curiosity.
I think it's the Daily News. New York Daily News.
Oh.
I lost my place. Anyway, there's a series of headlines, and they're very, you know, suggesting that that wild man Pat Sajak. And I think it was a really good tweet. I have noticed that a lot of people, it seems that when anyone suggests anything about, you know, getting back to work or that people go, oh, my God, you want to kill people. You know, you might not be working, but you're alive.
But why do we need advice from game show hosts? Can't they just stay in their lane?
I don't know why we need advice from anyone. Honestly,
stay in your lane, bro.
I think
Alec Trebek think.
God, what is with her mic?
It's overmodulated. Trudy, just turn the gain down. We'll fix everything else in post. We'll boost you up. I just don't want her disappearing, though. I don't want you disappearing, Trudy.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
But I just hate the emails.
What emails?
You know, people that say,
just write them back and tell them, stay in your lane.
I listen to shows where people sound bad, too. It's hard to listen sometimes. I just go, I don't like it. And I'll say that for some of the bigger shows, too. I'm like, I can't believe this show sounds this bad.
Yeah, I heard Howard having a little bit of trouble. And Levitard, man. Levitard, only him and Stugatz are the only people you can ever hear. Everybody else sounds like fucking garbage.
Well,
I know. It's the new world, Drew.
The first rule of podcasting is sound good. You got to sound good. If you don't sound good, that's all anybody will talk about. And I've listened to shitty sounding podcasts, and you look at the reviews, and they all talk about how shitty it sounds.
Trudy, let's do a mic check.
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2. Check 1.
That sounds pretty good.
It's better.
Yeah.
Good luck with the podcast.
Drew gets convinced.
I just don't want an aneurysm.
Okay, so today in the United States of assholes, which I'm more and more convinced that we are really, we're moving. Maybe we're already there. I'm sure a lot of people think we already are the United States of assholes, but it really bothered me to think that. And then you see so much assholish behavior going on, and this business of everyone.
If you don't love it, leave it. USA, number one.
Yeah.
Call me an asshole.
This business of everyone having a voice, you know, like Elon Musk has to say, okay, everybody, take the red pill.
Yeah.
Which is a good one. Matrix reference.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because he said red. And so when he says red, that means Republican.
Was that really what it meant?
Well, Ivanka Trump liked it. And so that's what people picked up on. And so now Elon Musk's baby mama is coming at him. And it's a mess.
His mother-in-law.
Baby mama's mama.
Actually has to respond online and, you know, tell him to stick it up his ass. It's like, why wouldn't you just call him? Do you really need to do that online where we all, I mean, it's like, oh, look at all this bullshit we have to listen to.
Wasn't the red pill thing, wasn't that like an incel? Didn't incels pick up on the whole red pill matrix aspect of it? Like, that's their big, maybe he just wants to be an incel. I don't know.
He's had five children.
I think the meeting was taken as being pretty clear that he's talking about.
Yeah,
right.
I know.
Red pill is supposed to be the inconvenient, you know, the unpleasant truth, and the blue pill is the blissful ignorance.
You've never seen The Matrix, right?
I have not.
Brandon, you've seen it, right? Trudy, you've seen it?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of electricity in it, Drew. You'd like it.
It's almost probably too much. My problem with that movie is that the fake reality, the pre-red pill, looks pretty good to me. I don't know why. What's the problem with living in that reality?
All right.
Because when you take the red pill, boy, does shit get crazy. No?
Wait, I don't know the movie.
When you're plugged into the chair doing nothing? No, the red.
That's
the blue pill.
Yeah.
That's the red pill releases you from all of that, and then your life pretty much sucks there on out.
Sounds like a good future.
I would love to be Homer Simpson. I've been saying it for years. God, would it be great to be Homer Simpson and just want a donut once in a while? And the nuclear plant, you set the thing on fire.
Access denied.
You don't even care. Nice that would be.
I got to say, the future, I think, of this world is really best summarized in the movie WALL-E, the cartoon movie. Brandon, do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
Do you know how they're in the future? They're on a spaceship. They're floating around on these chairs. Everything's through a pad. Nobody touches each other. It's all just fat, not a shape.
They're all fat, but, you know, it looks like a pretty cool life, to tell you the truth.
I wouldn't complain. I'm halfway there.
Because Fred Willard announced at the very beginning, do you remember that part that he played in WALL-E?
It's true.
Your bones get soft in space. So.
He was the president, right?
Yeah, Fred Willard was president.
Fred Willard reminded me of Phyllis George, who died. I never got into it yesterday, but I meant to. Was when I was in Phoenix, and Phyllis George was in town for some reason. And a lot of people floated through Phoenix like that because of L.A. being so close. There were a lot of charity golf tournaments. So you really got a lot of celebrities came through there. And it was one of those things, sure, we'll have her on. Because it was not that long after she'd been on the NFL Today, and I don't know what she was doing. She was married to John Brown, the Kentucky governor, I believe. And so not too long before she came in, the national program director, who was working out of Phoenix, called me out of the studio, and he said, you know about Gary Probst, our general manager, and Phyllis George? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, well, they had a serious relationship, and are you sure you didn't know that? No, I absolutely didn't know. Just don't say anything. Nice. Please don't mention Gary to Phyllis George.
Nice.
I was like, well, does she know he's here? I don't really know, but she looks a lot like Gary's wife, and people say it all the time. All his friends and his wife gets really upset, and I was like,
what?
What am I supposed to do with this? First of all, I didn't even know. Why did you have to tell me that? Anyway, Phyllis George comes in. She was super nice. She was one of those people that was like, Phyllis, I guess so. And then she comes in. She was really, really very nice. I really liked her. And I'm not saying I loved her on the NFL Today, but I just thought she was very nice. And the first thing she says is, I've got an old boyfriend that used to work that works in this building, Gary Probst.
So what'd you do? Did you play dumb or did you?
I played dumb, except playing dumb actually just unleashed
makes it more,
a bigger torrent of information. And she even said, I've heard I look a lot like the woman he married.
Oh, and that's that's funny because now it's really awkward for you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna text her into this dude anyway.
I guess that's when you just go, yeah, you know what? I heard that. I was instructed not to talk about it to you.
I should have said
it's honest.
I should have said something before she came in, but I did. You know, it's just one of those things that happens fast. How do you bring that? It's just weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, she was
nice woman. I like her actually.
And that'd be a compliment to the wife because Phyllis was hot, man.
Yeah, Phyllis was pretty. She was Miss America.
Ryan Lindhurst on Facebook Live says, way to make your death all about you, Drew.
Well, to make it all about me, I've always felt like Phyllis, Agnes, Esther, those are the oldest sounding women names possibly ever. Hmm.
Sure. I think Jane, Phyllis, my mom's name, Jane.
March.
You don't hear the name Jane. Barbara is kind
Jane's
of an old
not,
name.
Jane's not.
Is Jane coming
name.
Back?
Yeah.
Jane rallying?
I know some Janes.
I don't know many Janes.
I'll introduce you.
Okay. So there was some, there was a lot of,
then again, I gave both my daughters pretty old style names too. So what do I know?
There's a lot of hand wringing about masks today. And it started with this thing on Twitter, which I'm sure has gone massively viral. This woman in Dana Point who just, she is just not going to be told that she can't go shopping at, was the grocery store?
Yeah, I forget the name of the grocery store.
Trader Joe's.
No, that's a different one, believe it or not.
Oh, really? Okay.
This is another, I don't know. She announces where the place is and everything. It's only got 4.3 million views right now. I think it's Gelman's. Does that sound like a place? Should I play it? You want me to play it?
Yeah, just play it. It's real simple. She's just trying to get in. They're saying you can't come in because you have a mask, and she explains why she has to come in with a mask. And they're trying to be as helpful as they can be, and of course, she starts suggesting she's going to sue them. And
isn't this similar to the no shirt, no shoes, no service?
It's really simple.
It's a private business.
I just think, honestly, we have so many assholes in this country that you can't – it's impossible to tell people they have to do anything. It's really hard, especially when it's new.
They scream about it not being a law. It's like, well, yeah, you're not going to get arrested for it. This business just doesn't want you to come in here.
No, it's just a policy. And if you come in and you do something to the people with masks, then they're going to fucking sue.
Yeah, here it is.
You humbly apologize.
Oh, so first, the first person she approaches, there's a guy outside who, I mean, I don't think this matters at all, but I would, if I were to guess, I would think maybe gay.
It
doesn't matter.
I don't know. All I know is that he didn't feel he had the authority to deal with this woman.
And he has the best attitude.
We apologize, but Gelson specifically is not allowing any customer or employee inside the store without a mask or some sort of guide.
Okay, so I need to talk to a manager because...
I will absolutely humbly go get a manager for you if you'd like to hang out with me for
awesome.
Just a moment. If not, we can provide you with one.
I'm not wearing a mask.
Okay, yeah.
They even offer to give her a mask.
Go ahead.
He's jamming to Jackson. Cancel that guy. I don't care if he's gay or not.
Here comes the manager. Who else?
I have a medical condition that I'm not allowed to wear a mask, and I'm not required by HIPAA rules and regulations to disclose that.
Okay, can we shop for you?
So,
can we shop
what
for
does
you?
That look like? I have private things I want to get, but maybe I don't want you to...
Pause right now.
You know what that means? Tamps.
Tampons.
Which I don't believe, by the way.
Is this all... Did she practice this ahead of time? It almost seems like she did, didn't she? She just said, will not accept any help or, you know.
She has an answer for everything.
Is it really that horrific? Doesn't the person checking her out know she buys the tampons? Isn't that privacy lost there?
Her next argument is about, you know, her private banking information. Well, how do you ever buy anything, lady?
A fucking credit card.
If you don't like that, then give them cash.
And this was the social media post that she put right before she went to the store.
I just felt a gush, so I need to go buy some tamps and go lay down.
All right.
But I can't let you in the store without a mask.
Okay, so where's the regulations that state that?
The regulations?
Yeah.
Because
you're discriminating against me now. Do you know that? You're discriminating against me. No, because I have private stuff that I don't want you to see.
Oh, shut up.
You can call corporate office, but I can't help you.
Okay, well, you guys can get a lawsuit. Because you can't discriminate.
His reaction is great. He's just, okay. Go ahead.
This is just such a perfect example of what a pile of assholes we have in this country right now. This is a woman. You just don't expect women to be. How old is she, by the way? She looks.
You don't see her. I don't think you ever see her.
She doesn't sound terribly old or set in her ways.
Why is this a fight? She wants to.
She wants a fight. She wants a fight.
And she's not. Guess what I appreciate about it? She's not going to get one from either of these dudes.
No, go ahead. So, I mean,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
People threatening lawsuits. suits like that. What is wrong with people? Say, see ya. She's talked to this guy for all of 2 minutes. He could not be nicer to her. He offers to shop for her.
Very accommodating.
This is what he should have said.
Fuck you. I'm trying to help you, motherfucker.
The privacy thing, by the way, I just thought about this. Okay, so the person who shops for her, which is really nice, she can sit out there, enjoy the sunshine or whatever the hell she wants to do while they shop for her. The person that shops for her, yeah, that person knows she gets tampons. The person checking her out doesn't know it's her because they don't see her. So it's the same amount of people knowing her private items yep. as it would have been otherwise. So fuck yourself, you idiot.
How is that? How's that helping when you're going to do shopping for me? I'm going to give you my bank information. How do I do the transaction?
Transactions will do for you.
No, I'm going to give you my credit card, my private credit card, for you to go and take and pay with my...
We're trying to help you.
How's that helping me?
Miss, call corporate office. I'm sorry.
Okay, I need a card. Do you have a card for them?
I sure can.
That'd be great.
Well, I mean, she's a pain in the ass to the bitter end. Can I have a card
this
for them?
This is Shelley Lewis. Dana Point, Gelson's. So if anybody who...
Now she's doing her live reporting.
If anybody wants to shop here, you have to have a mask, and here is the policies.
Yeah, it's their policy.
Which state that they will shop for me, take my money, my private credit card.
Don't shop there.
And, private credit card?
Utilize that. I'm going to just let them go do that. So, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do that.
Go.
Then leave. Okay, so now, this is where it gets great. So she had the camera on their store policy sign. And then she pivots back because she's still waiting for the card. And the first guy is just totally boogieing down to Michael Jackson while he's spraying and wiping the carts down. It's really hilarious because nothing bothers him.
I'm not going to do that.
There he's spraying. Look at him boogieing. She does not like him boogieing either.
But you're pretty chipper. You're pretty chipper. Huh? You're happy?
Why not be?
Why are you happy?
Why not be happy?
Normally I'm a bartender and I wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
Not the Gelson's.
So he's happy.
I mean, I'm glad
there.
You guys think it's okay to like infringe on people's rights here. You're infringing on people's rights.
Oh, she wants to pick a fight with him?
Yeah, she doesn't want him to be happy. She's mad that he's happy.
Yeah.
My dear, there is no way my card's clean.
Sorry?
I'm sorry I can't help you. But that's the number for our corporate office.
Okay, what's your name?
Okay, my name is Ben.
Ben? Mm-hmm. Okay, Ben.
Okay.
You'll be hearing from my lawyer, Ben. That's the end of it.
Honest to God. Okay, and there's a local story. Is there something in the local news about this?
No.
Similar?
It must be the story of the day because Inside Edition started with a very similar story. And another lady.
I love Inside Edition.
Another lady whose liberties are being infringed upon her.
My wife thinks Inside Edition is, oh, yeah.
Infringed upon, yeah.
Stupid.
Businesses are reopening, and staff often find themselves in the position of trying to enforce face mask rules. Here's Jim Murray.
Why are you calling the police on an American citizen buying groceries?
An angry confrontation with a customer shopping for groceries and not wearing a mask.
I'm refusing. I don't want to put my mask on.
A manager at a Trader Joe's in L.A. called 911 as the shopper harangued other customers.
No. Yes. Okay. And you are nuts wearing that mask.
I spoke today to the woman.
That pretty much sums up this country, doesn't it? Those two people.
First of all, it is an unlawful mandate. It is not a law. And it does not protect against the COVID-19. I do not believe our liberties and our rights stop when your fear starts.
There are confrontations almost daily in stores across
America. Where'd you pick that up? Where'd you get that talking point?
Some people say they don't want to wear them for health reasons.
I wouldn't know where she got that idea.
Others are making a political point. Now store managers are complaining they're being caught in the middle and are being made into mask enforcers.
Amen.
This is what everybody's doing because they're making it legal. A customer not wearing a mask in a store in San Antonio, Texas, became violent when he saw someone recording video. And surveillance video caught two.
I mean, that's pretty much it. But that
is another fight.
Damn, serious crap.
Really? You want to fight over this? Why don't you go shop somewhere else? I mean, if it's so ridiculous, then surely somebody has a no mask policy and you can go find whatever it is you want.
Yeah.
And by the way, nobody knows. We don't all know what the answers are. People are trying to be safe and at least respect their right to do that.
Oh, I forgot about
that. She's mad at the woman for wearing a mask. What does it really hurt her?
This lady confronts a reporter who's wearing a mask.
Handle these situations. It's a minority that's trying to stir the pot.
TV reporters wearing masks are also sometimes getting hassled.
You are sweating. There's glasses. You can't even see out of them. You're terrified. I'm wearing my mask.
I'm glad she's so concerned for that reporter because she's sweating.
Not wearing masks confronted a local TV reporter.
I think you need to back away from me.
No, I got hydroxychloroquine. I'm fine.
I'm just standing here. This guy will not get away from me.
The president retweeted the reporter's video and posted, "People can't get enough of this." Great.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, so many stupid people.
So
I swear, I really feel like this whole Dunning-Kruger conversation is just, it's just fits the narrative of everything going on right now. There's so many people, they think they know so much, they don't. They're so sure of themselves. I don't understand, why is anybody so sure of themselves? If the epidemiologists and virologists, they're not sure about certain things and they're not afraid to tell you that sometimes. So why are these people shopping so sure that they need or don't need a mask? I mean, I think most people are just playing it safe. They're just going, oh, I'm going to do the thing that looks the safest to me, which is wearing a mask.
Or I look at it as, why is it so bad if it makes other people feel safe? You really just can't wear a mask while you're inside a store for an hour?
I think it's her opportunity to pick a fight with the people at the front door and the people inside. If they would have let her in, she would have picked a fight with everybody else who was wearing masks,
but why?
Too.
Why is she picking a fight with a guy spraying the carts?
Because look how mad she was when he didn't care.
Yeah,
so did, but he did care. He was very polite, and he got the guy that had to talk to her.
But when he would not get stirred up by her, she was angry because she couldn't get him wound up. She wanted. Because
she's
if you don't like America, then you can get it.
Because she's a bitch, and I mean, this is so funny that the United States of Assholes conversation came up the other day, because last night I saw this documentary on Prime Video, and it was Theory Assholes. It's like, wow, what is that? And it was a documentary about how we have so many more assholes than used to have.
Asshole.
And it's exactly what I've been thinking, not just from social media, but it just seems like it's sometimes overbearing because I never spend much time on social media. And as soon as I started spending more time in there, I realized that, boy, we've just completely normalized bullying the shit out of people. Mm.
Doxing.
Trolling people, doxing people, and really based on almost no information. We're all really terrible. There's just a zillion terrible reporters out there, and they just will go on the most scant information to completely blister someone because they're behind a keyboard. And I understand when you're behind a keyboard, you're anonymous, but I mean,
that's slowly changing though. People are just doing it on
social media. That's for sure.
It just seems strange to me that, the whole business of manners, decorum, and I've never really been someone who read Miss Manners books and read Dear Abby and felt that, you know, that we should all behave in a robotic way. But I mean, honestly, it just seems there's just no respect and no basic decency, and nobody gives anyone the benefit of the doubt. And I don't mean no one. I just mean in this group of people who are flaming assholes, it's almost like he's just a troll. And when you say, oh, he's just a troll, you're sort of saying that it's okay.
Yeah.
And it is fairly normalized, and it doesn't really bother me. Every now and then somebody gets under my skin a little bit just because they say something so stupid, and I should just go, oh, they're just trolling me.
Yeah.
That's what they're really doing. But I don't understand.
Nice attitude.
How any kind of humanity, just because it's a computer and it's the internet, it just goes, whew, bye-bye.
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better about themselves.
Yeah, I think that's crucial to that attitude.
And I mean, and that says a lot about them.
Yeah.
Doesn't it really? It says more about them than the person
you're
talking to.
Yeah.
Mark, you were talking about Home Depot, being at Home Depot the other day.
Yeah, it was jam-packed.
They would only let 80 at a time in. They were taking a count at the door.
What? No one was doing that at mine.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to die ASAP. We got an email from someone that, I don't know if you saw the guy that went to Stony Creek Metro Park.
Yeah, I did.
to ride his, to cycle, basically. Pretty sure it's the busiest I've ever seen. The bike jogging path was flooded with people. Maybe 10% had masks. If you wanted to distance yourself, you couldn't. Massive groups of people walking, fishing, picnics, bunch of high school kids jumping fences to use the bathroom. Oh, by the way, those are all closed, but I think there were a few porta-johns. An absolute madhouse.
Well, you know, it's all these pictures where so many of us look at the TV and go, what are they doing? You know, it's like,
I think that's,
it's like 500 people just all just crammed together trying to get into this beach in California. And I'm like, do they not know what's going on? Or they don't care? Or they're just saying, fuck you? Or what is that?
All of it. Any of it.
So,
or they're just thinking,
there's lots of pussy at the beach.
Okay, so I want to say that I believe this is kind of unique because, you know, when I look at the curve for the other nations and I see, Mark, you look at the curve still, don't you?
I don't anymore.
You don't? Okay.
I just don't.
I didn't look for a long time. You should see like France's curve. It's like really.
Are we talking linear or logarithmic?
I'm talking normal. A normal graph. It's not logarithmic.
Oh, wow.
And
first
it goes,
problem.
It's the curve that we were trying to flatten, and mm-hmm. it flattens out, and then it goes way down. And here's Spain, and here's Italy, and
Greece.
here's the U.S.
Greece, yeah.
The U.S. It never comes down all the way. It comes down a little bit, then it goes back up, and then it comes down, and then it goes up. And I just think that there are apparently a lot of people here that they're too busy. They got too many important things to do. They can't be told what to do, and they're just too important to stay home, I guess. And a lot of them are the
Navajo
people
Nation.
Telling us to do it. Yeah, Navajo Nation, I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, let me mention our friends at Zot. As most of you know, our original and studio sponsor, DealsInAD.com, is now open and happy to help you with all your automotive needs. They've got the 84-month lease that is 0% financing.
Beautiful.
84 months, 0%. Zero due leases for under $200. You know, I should almost get a car and take the 84 months just because it's such a good deal to have their money for.
Who made these deals?
I keep their money for 7 years. And they don't make any money on it.
Sounds
well,
like
that's
a scam.
What interest rates are now are 0% though. So
yeah, pretty crazy. Yeah. Plus, right now, while several dealerships are closed, all the Zot dealerships can help renew your lease or get you out of your lease early with no penalties, get you in your new car. You may be able to skip a couple payments. There's just a lot of stuff going on over there, the kind of stuff that you like. And the deals are entirely out of control. Zero due leases for under $200 a month. As they perfected the VIP pickup and the drop, they pick up your death trap, drop off your new vehicle, whether you're leasing it or buying it, or you're looking maybe at the older, pre-loved cars on DealsInAD.com. This goes for Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, Zot Toyota, all of them. And they are social distancing and disinfecting experts because they had no choice. They had to be. So go to DealsInAD.com, check out the big inventory, and hopefully find yourself some new wheels, and you can call.
You wrote it at the bottom of it.
Call Anthony. 248-215-5151. 248-215-5151.
I was laughing at myself because I was looking at Trump's Twitter feed. His pinned tweet is a video. I think it must be about Mitt Romney. And he just wrote, "Loser!" with an exclamation point.
I heard Obama and Biden are going to jail.
Yeah, they're going to be locked up.
For 50 years?
Wow.
I'm sure.
Say 50 years?
I didn't know he put a time.
I think he said 50 years.
Wow.
For Obama.
He also,
I don't know what Biden's sentence is.
That's right.
Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Trump also announced that he's been taking hydrochloroquine for about a week and a half now.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, and zinc. His doctor told him not to, but he demanded it.
What? Really? Seriously? He said that?
Well, he doesn't have the virus, does he?
According to the Associated Press, I don't know if that's fake news.
He's taking it preventatively?
He said Monday he's taking a malaria drug to lessen symptoms should he get the new coronavirus. He told reporters he's been taking the drug, hydrochloroquine, and a zinc supplement daily for about a week and a half now. He spent weeks pushing the drug. Yeah, we all know that. The doctor did not recommend the drug to him, but he requested it from the White House physician. Which, what are they going to do, tell him no? Of course not.
Well, I guess he hasn't been talking to Tom Hanks' wife because she said it made her feel really bad. Although I just read about someone else.
Is it possible that he has it or had it.
I have no fucking
idea. He's knocking it out with it.
I'm so worn out in this whole thing.
It's so weird.
Someone else just recorded, and I don't know if it was on Twitter or where it was, but it was somebody slightly famous. I don't remember who it was, but they were saying they took hydrochloroquine and they got better really fast. And they gave credit to the drug. And this was right after they said that it's not good or it can be, you can cause your heart problems. So anyway, who knows?
How can you give credit to the drug if we don't know how each person responds to the virus, though?
I don't know.
You know, does it help? Doesn't it? I mean, would you have gotten better anyway?
Well, people, you know, it started in Korea is where people were using it and were getting better.
Korea had another outbreak, by the way, with this time with, I think, gyms and fitness centers.
I'm surprised people go to gyms and fitness centers right now.
Well, I mean, what if you want to
work out?
How big
an outbreak are we talking about?
That's funny. The store, I threw it away because I just didn't care.
Because, you know, I was reading somewhere about, you know, cases spiking. It was like, that's not that many
cases. I think that's why I threw it away, because it wasn't that many. I don't know where it's at.
Anybody see Naomi Campbell on the plane? She was taking a flight somewhere in an entire hazmat suit.
Yes, she's a nut.
She's wearing a hazmat suit.
A whole hazmat suit, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Fashionable one.
It was a single Latin dance workshop for instructors in South Korea led to 112 cases. Eight of the participants were asymptomatic carriers.
Yeah, somebody.
That's fun.
There's a church in Northern California where somebody had the virus and they went to church. And they believe they may have infected up to 180 people.
Great.
Excellent. So that's just super spreader.
Yep. But none of them were at the beach, though. So, and I still don't think a beach or parks are. I think it's possible to socially distance.
Yeah, it should be, but they're not really trying. They don't look like they're trying to me. And so, I don't know. This topic is.
There's lots of pussy at the beach.
So wearying sometimes because there's just no common sense being used whatsoever. Let me mention though, because has anybody heard about anybody's having a basement flooded or any flooding yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, if you have this problem, Emergency Response Services Incorporated, those are our guys. Call 877-JOB-DONE or 877-JOBDONE.com. Tell them Drew sent you, and they do the disinfecting now for COVID. In fact, if you're an emergency plumber or you work for a plumbing supply house in Southeast Michigan, call now for free COVID-19 disinfection treatment in your workplace or work vehicle. They'll give you a free sample.
Did you read the addendum that I put in there? The email from the right above it, that top part.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They sent a special message for today.
When you're prone to flooding and have a basement, it's always good to know who to call when you have water in your basement, perhaps nasty things floating by. Call 877-JOB-DONE. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there are some problems.
And it's poop.
I sure hope there aren't. But if there are, call 877-JOB-DONE, 877-JOB-DONE. ERS Incorporated will respond 24/7 to get that water out. And as I mentioned, they've got the carpet cleaning, too. If you've got carpets that are affected by it, they can take care of that, no sweat. Emergency Response Services wants to remind you to check your sump pump when we have this much rain. Oh, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The last sump pump that didn't run, so all that water in the rental.
That's where it came from.
And I'm going, wait a second. I distinctly remember saying, okay, because I was being told that I needed a backup sump pump.
Yeah.
And I said,
a backup battery.
A backup battery, yeah. And I said, okay. And they said, yeah, $1,500. I'm like, wait, really? I need a backup? What's wrong with this sump pump that I got to have a backup? Oh, I just want to be sure. And I'm like, okay, I'm so tired of basements flooding in these rental properties. I'll pay for it. And that was the house that flooded. I went to back up sump pump, and the sump pump didn't fucking work.
Well, yeah, a lot of times those ones with the batteries, by the time, I mean, they only run a few hours before they die. The battery dies.
No, that's not what happened. That isn't what happened.
Tremendous amounts of water.
But again, it's like, what kind of insurance is that when you pay all this extra money for something to work that should have worked in the first place, and it still doesn't work?
Yeah.
Water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji.
And I remember the first thing that was said to me was, well, you know, have you serviced it in the last year? I was like, oh, really? So I got a sump pump and a backup sump pump, and you're telling me I've got to service it every year.
That's so much work. I would just let it flood.
I said, what exactly has to be done? What's going to happen to a sump pump? I've lived in houses with sump pumps and never did a fucking thing to them.
Yeah, what do you have
for
to do?
For 10 years, service? And they worked perfectly.
What do you have to do to
service? He was bullshitting me. He sold us a bum backup sump pump.
Well, it depends on what the backup is. If the backup is a battery one, you might have to fill it with acid and stuff like that. But
acid?
What?
Yeah, there's some batteries that you gotta fill that stuff. I trust me, I am all in on sump pumps because I have issues with mine.
What happened was the backup sump pump was defective. I don't remember what was defective about it. And then it was a matter of, gosh, you'd think they'd be calling to replace the defective sump pump and apologizing profusely. But first it was, oh, have you serviced it? then it was, it's bad. Check it out, it's bad. I said, okay, so wouldn't you
sorry,
be
not sorry.
Taking it away since you're paid to install it?
Sorry, not sorry.
No rush. No hurry.
Sorry, not sorry.
ERSI, call 877, job done. God bless you. I hope your sump pump is running. You should check. And if you have a rental property, you might want to send a note to somebody to just take a peek. Oh, God, life.
That just made me think. Remember when Clark, he would call, was it Glenn Hagee he would call?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Glenn Hagee, who did the home repair shop show, or he could do anything.
but he was also
on 1270.
Mike Clark's personal
yeah.
handyman,
and
kind
he,
of.
He got pissed at Mike.
What?
Yeah, I think Mike texted him, like, kind of late.
I remember. You told me this
story. His phone went bloop, and Glenn Hagee was like,
yeah, boy.
Don't bring me your problems at 11:30 at night. Or something like that. Which woke up Glenn Hagee's wife.
In turn, just pissed off Mike. Right? Like, yeah. It's 11:30 at night.
Yeah, I think Mike was equally angry.
Mike's the one that had to get up in the morning. What are you talking about?
For all that Mike had done for Glenn Hagee, for God's sakes.
He talked about him a lot.
He promoted the shit out of him.
He did promote the shit out of that show.
Oh, boy. So, it did... I really was getting a kick out of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but this documentary on theory, an asshole, or asshole's a theory, or theory, asshole, something like that. Anyway, I start watching it. And the first part was fun because they were trying to define what an asshole is, which is kind of complicated, but it was...
Call me an asshole.
It was kind of determined that it's an entitled person, someone who's entitled, someone who's all about themselves, you know, whether it's cutting in line or... you know, it's again that entitlement privilege. Mm-hmm. They do assholish things because they just think they're more important. And the females were saying, and by the way, it was determined that females are assholes too.
Really? Okay.
Maybe not as many, but there are female assholes, as we just heard. That assholes really don't care about you. They don't want to listen to you talk about your shit, but they will talk about their shit, of course. It's usually, that's a very defining thing, is that they're always talking about themselves, because that's all that really matters to an asshole. And let's see, what else is in the definition? Because it was good.
It's kind of like obscenity. You know it when you see
it. I have an audio of...
Oh, great.
I have the actual audio clip of this documentary that's kind of summed up, if you want to take
okay.
a look.
Yeah, sure.
I don't act anymore. I hurt people. I'm a dick.
Well, being a dick ain't so bad. See, there's three kinds of people. Dicks, pussies, and assholes. Pussies think everyone can get along, and dicks just want to fuck all the time without thinking it through. But then you got your assholes, Chuck. And all the assholes want us to shit all over everything. So pussies may get mad at dicks once in a while because pussies get fucked by dicks. But dicks also fuck assholes, Chuck. And if they didn't fuck the assholes, you know what you'd get? You get your dick and your pussy all covered in shit. All right, that does it. Get out of here, you
Thanks
drunk lowlife.
Team America, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus.
Can't believe you let Evan watch that on a church trip.
Well, I'd already seen it.
Such a great story.
I know. I was kind of stunned that he even let it go that far. You'd think he would have just gone, you know what, you don't have to call. Forget it.
That's the genius behind it.
And Tess hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
So.
Brilliant play.
I guess so.
Brilliant play.
But then he took it a step further because at Christmas, my brother, My younger brother and his very, I don't want to say too much, she was rather judgmental. She was very protective of the kids. Mm-hmm. Didn't work.
She sounds hot.
She's pretty. She was very protective of the kids. And so it seemed to me, I was just always hearing that, the kids can't do that because, you know, they're swearing or, you know the type of
kids. Kids
about.
Never.
Yeah. And
never
so my brother just went along with it. I don't think he necessarily agreed with it, but he went along with it. So then we're together for Christmas down there, and Evan and Alex were wanting to watch a movie before bed. And his kids were there too. And his kids are, let's see, they're a little bit younger. Not much. They're all around the same age.
Yeah.
Anyway, Evan says, we should watch
Team America.
Team America. And I was like, oh, God, I haven't seen Team America. I don't know about that. And Chuck asked me, he goes, is the movie okay for kids? And Evan goes, oh, yeah, absolutely.
I watched that. It's pretty amazing.
We got like 2 minutes in. It was like, oh, my God. What a disaster.
Where was your mother?
And all I know is Chuck just announced to his kids that your mom will never know you saw this movie. She is never to know you saw this movie.
That's awesome. Other than like having one parent make the kid lie to the other.
And I remember Evan must have been about 12 because they're all at that age, like 9 to 12. And for some reason, because Chuck was flying choppers in the Army, so it came up that he knew how to kill a guy with his bare hands.
Oh, yeah.
He was a teacher in the Army. So I just remember that Evan and Alex were so – I've never seen them so focused in their lives. They wanted to know how you could kill a guy with your bare hands. They were so pumped.
Please tell me he played it up a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't tell you that. That's a secret.
He showed them like –
get to the chopper!
Three different ways. And they were completely focused the entire time, which is
– I'd love to know what the three ways he came up with.
I'd love to know if he walked into every room and said
– I flew in on a helicopter.
How could you not?
They were so focused. Something about guys that age, that's just the things their brain will latch onto. Virtually all of them. But anyway, so speaking of assholes, the theory of this documentary was, and most of the people interviewed were in agreement that, yeah, it just seems like there's more assholes every day. And of course, there's a lot of discussion about social media and people feeling a little extra important, a little extra my voice matters. I didn't say it that way, but I think that's what they were saying. And also feeling the need to say anything, like no thoughts are really protected. You just blurt everything out.
Yeah, no filter.
And, you know, all the bullying and also knowing the power that it has sort of unleashes an inner asshole in people. Because you know that when you tweet something or put something on Facebook and you want to get a certain effect, you know that it's a better effect than if you actually just said something to a person. If you put it out there, it's like,
asshole.
Whammo!
Is that kind of the pendulum swinging back from whenever, you know, because it used to be you can't say anything, you'll get fired from your job. The kind of the feeling in like 2014.
Probably, but
now it's like, I'm going to say whatever I want.
I think there's a degree of that, but there are a lot of people who I think are just by nature, they don't want to upset people. It's just sort of a natural feeling of, you know, oh, you know, I'm above that, or I'm going to let that go. I mean, there are people like that who aren't just seeking that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you do. You know, assholes don't like anybody telling them anything. I mean, they're nowhere.
I just want to say, can we all get along? Can we get along?
I left out the other part of the definition. Know-it-alls. They're know-it-alls too. So, you know, when somebody tells you you can't say certain things, or it probably, yeah, there probably is a boomerang of, well, I'm behind a keyboard now. I can say anything and I can, you know, I can tell more people. And I've noticed this on Twitter, and it's not limited to any one group of people or one gender or anything. This business of proving that you're the most outraged by, you know, I'm going to leave the country if this person's elected, or what was it Chelsea Clinton was saying? Oh, but I would not put my kids, I would not want my kids raised in America. And
nobody asked you.
And you know, you'll get the same response on the other side. To, you know, somehow you have to express that you're the most upset. You're the most outraged. And
oh, you mean the other side being,
hey, if you don't like America, then you can get it.
Or the other side being,
isn't this America? I'm sorry. I thought this was America.
So anyway, they started trying to hone in on, you know, large groups of assholes. Mm-hmm. And the one that everyone seemed to agree on, and this couple guys gave some examples, were college fraternities.
Oh, yeah.
Full of assholes.
Yep.
I've always felt that way. Sorry if you're in a frat. I don't mean everyone. I just think there's a real desire to flout rules, get women drunk, sleep with them, get phone numbers, generally behave in an extremely objectionable way, and that group think takes over. And so, you know, when you're a real asshole, I think you kind of get credit for it. It's like, did you see what he did? Yeah. And I know jocks were like that, too. There was a lot of that in the jock world that I was around. But I'm really surprised that, and this sort of came up, like, God, why do colleges keep putting themselves through this? Because there's every year it seems like there's some horrible Greek system story.
Yeah, what does the university get out of?
I have no idea. I swear, I keep, and you know how you keep hearing that, there'll be no hazing from here on out, yeah, and right. There's always hazing. The hazing never stops. Yeah. And by the way, that is a total asshole move. And if I was hazed like that, I think the way it goes is you feel like 2 years later when the new pledges come in, well, I got hazed, they're going to get hazed, which is kind of the asshole mindset.
There is a new hazing story out there today.
Oh, no, there's no more hazing.
Mark. Oh, there's lots of hazing.
It can't be because there's no hazing.
Not only that, but four people lost their job. Of course, the university lawyer got to retire, but the coaches lost their job. Care to guess what sport it was?
I think I saw this. I did a deep dive on the roster.
Did you?
Got to be football,
right? How'd they look?
They looked pretty good. It was cheerleading.
Competitive
Kentucky.
Cheerleading in Kentucky. Oh. I'm trying to find the story. I know.
So I just
the Cliff
Notes version. I don't have it in front of me, but apparently these cheerleaders at Kentucky were, oh my gosh, public nudity, drinking, hazing. It basically sounded like it was a bunch of college girls having a good college time. But
well, except that the coaches would quote unquote, well, they a lot of it was done at a like a camp or a retreat, and one of the things was they had to do a bunch of cheers with no underwear on.
Nice. Well,
where's the
is that really that big a haze? I mean, that's better than having to drink 60 shots in 60 minutes.
Kentucky.
Let's see. Members of the squad reportedly performed basket tosses. Anybody that's seen the documentary Cheer on Netflix knows what that is. Have you watched it yet?
Watched a couple episodes. I actually kind of liked it.
It's really good.
What I did not understand, though, is the cheerleading coach who's so determined that her squad be number
one. No,
it just seemed like a weird thing to be so competitive about.
So who cares?
And, yeah, I know.
That's
they all look
makes
great.
It fun.
Every routine I saw looked great. I was cheering along with them, man.
So, yeah. They
what are basket tosses?
The squad reportedly performed basket tosses while either topless or bottomless and within view of coaches at a team retreat.
What?
Coaches failed to confiscate alcohol brought by students to the retreat, and coaches allowed cheerleading alumni to bring boats and alcohol to the same retreat. Why are alumni coming back for a cheerleading retreat?
It's probably dude alumni who are coming back.
Some squad members became so intoxicated they required medical treatment. At a separate cheerleading camp in Tennessee, some members of the team were directed by others to perform lewd chants.
Is this a college?
And wear outfits. Yeah, University of Kentucky.
Really?
Here's one of their chants.
Team members were separated by gender, and younger team members had to repeat a song, you know, one of those stupid songs, before older team members. New male team members were required to wear an outfit that lacked underwear, and lights in the room were sometimes turned off to intimidate. It's a little soft, isn't it?
Yeah.
Turning off the lights is now hazing.
That reminds me of something.
Oh, do tell.
Well, let me finish up on the, we're 52 minutes in. I just popped on Facebook Live.
Oh, are you going to yell at people?
No. How many people are watching?
Live? It was 220 last I checked. I don't know. That reminds me of the other thing you told me beforehand.
Thinking about.
All right.
There are a couple other
things. Hang on, let me just ask my boner. Oh, yeah, he's fine with it.
There was quite a segment on what assholes the tech world has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just asshole central now. And also the financial world. not financial planning, but finance.
Hasn't that always kind of
that I suppose
existed with, you know, yuppies in the 80s?
Yeah, and but I mean, certainly people would call a lot of those people assholes.
Yeah,
and they're, you know, the feeling was that you had to be an asshole to succeed, or you know, I think that was sort of
dog eat dog,
let it go. Yeah. But in the tech world, because so many people, you know, are out there humping for money, seed money. I need seed money for my idea, and they were throwing money at people, throwing money at 22-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 23-year-olds. And so they would start these companies with a lot of their friends, all very young. And, you know, when you have a big pile of money and it lands on, you know, 20 young people, it's going to breed a lot of, I mean, a lot of inner asshole is going to get unleashed. Just, I mean, I felt I understood that.
Just ask WeWork.
Yeah, WeWork. What a flaming asshole.
Or Theranos. She wasn't. No, she was a total asshole with her dog.
She's horror show. And a lot of those people were horrible. And honestly, just trying to explain that.
Regarding WeWork, by the way, you know that SoftBank and that Jack Ma.
Yeah, the guy that loaned him $300 million, who should not have loaned him anything.
He's off the board now because they've lost $18 billion.
Ouch.
But what's funny
power
is
power of assholes.
Only 4.6 of that was WeWork. 5.2 was from Uber. It was their worst annual loss. So that guy's blown out, the mighty SoftBank.
I was just thinking about all the tech companies, like, you know, Google, for example, where they walk out to protest the
they really think
they have some powers and they run their company and they are the company.
Yeah.
And
no, they're still rank and file.
And they also, there's rank and file. And they also, you know, when companies get extremely valuable, you know, they're worth a lot of money. It's like, you can't sell your stock, but you're a millionaire. You know, they'll tell you that. And then, of course, eventually, by the time you have to sell your stock, you're really not a millionaire at all. There are a lot of things that come crashing down, you know, like Enron.
Yeah.
I mean, Enron had a lot of millionaires.
Or Health South.
And it's interesting in places like Google or Facebook, and not specifically, but just places like that, how I saw this at the SNL in Phoenix, Lincoln Savings and Loan, Charles Keating, that scandal where they converted all these people, old people mostly, who were in safe investments. They converted them to junk bonds.
Yeah.
And most of them lost some or all of their money. And they were all older. And he went to prison and then he got out, which is mortifying to me. But he was scamming. I mean, there's so much scamola going on in Lincoln Savings. And it was kind of curious that, boy, nobody in that company says anything but the most wonderful things about Charles Keating. They all loved him from the secretaries on up. Everyone just loved him to death. He paid everyone a lot of money. Everyone was high paid. And so, you know, even though they're doing all these horrific things, and, you know, a lot of these people know that people are losing their ass by investing with them or converting them to junk bonds, but they're getting paid so much, they still, you know, even when he was charged, oh, this is crazy, Charlie Keating's a wonderful man. And then what they learned as more information became available was that secretaries were making like $100,000, and this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
So there's a strange, I don't know, there's so many cult effects going on.
Great guy.
In different places. It doesn't necessarily have to be a cult to be a cult. Is, I guess, my point.
I'm going to sound like a broken record, but you have to watch Trial by Media, episode 4.
I did. I watched Strucci. It.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
That guy's pretty cool, huh? He liked to rock out and
I know.
Steal a bunch of money.
I just wanted to shoot out the TV.
Yeah,
honestly.
That, episode 4 of that really shows how bad lawyers can be and organized religion, because this guy gets in trouble, Richard
and
Strucci.
And how stupid the public can be. That's the thing that annoys me the most is, give me a break. We know, why would this, okay, the story is Richard Strucci, is that his name, with Health South,
yeah.
Yeah, he wants to, he doesn't want to report bad numbers to Wall Street. Mm-hmm. So he says, fix the numbers. We're not reporting numbers like that. You fix them. And so the accountants would get in there, the CFOs, and they'd cook the books, and they'd say, well, how's this? Okay. And so, anyways, a big scam, and they were billions of dollars overvalued, and many of those billions of dollars went to him. He had boats and houses and everything you could imagine. Houses all over the place.
I think my favorite stat was, you know, the line got so big quarter after quarter because they had to keep showing growth.
Yeah.
That they were paying more in taxes than they were actually bringing in because the lie got that big. The lie got so big, their tax liability was more than they could actually afford.
Absolutely nuts. So he's charged, and the five CFOs, the chief financial officers, they all say, we're guilty. They plea, basically. They got a prison sentence, short sentence. And they have to testify against Scrushy. So what does Scrushy do? He gets this black attorney who hires this good old boy from Alabama. Rather than these, you know, briefcase-carrying Wall Street types, these hotshot attorneys from New York, and they know they've got to cajole an Alabama jury, and it's a lot of colloquial kind of things.
You got to admit, that guy was good.
He was good. No, he was very good, but it was all bullshit.
No matter how thin you pour a pancake, there's always another side. That's what my grandma used to tell me.
And yeah, of course, which his grandma never told him that. That was a lie,
totally
too.
Yeah.
But this guy, when he's charged and waiting to go to trial, all of a sudden he has a religious conversion. And he starts, he goes to this black church and says,
hallelujah.
You know, no church will have me now. I want to worship. My family wants to worship. What am I going to do? And they're like, oh, we'll take you, Mr. Scrushy. And of course, he starts dumping money in all these black churches all over town, you know, like he's just this incredibly benevolent guy. And he also becomes, he has a TV show preaching, right?
He buys time. And
yeah, he buys time on TV.
Becomes a televangelist, kind of. I mean, he's not asking for money while he does it. He's just showing
money.
What a guy, you know, he's tainting a jury is what he's doing.
Yeah, he's throwing money at all these churches.
Yeah.
So he gets these good old boy lawyers, and they run through the case, and the feds run through the case. And the case is very simple. It really wasn't that complicated. But the jury just was... They were so moved by this guy's conversion, I guess, and by his Southern boy lawyers that they found him not guilty. And guess what happened with the churches? He never showed up there again. It's like, fuck you, bye. I mean, what do you think, for appearance's sake, he would have just...
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
No, it was all bullshit. It was all complete bullshit.
That was Baker's move, by the way. Baker did the same thing.
Banks.
When he got out of prison, he sought redemption in the black churches, and that helped him regain his footing in the evangelical world. And
OJ did the same thing.
Yeah.
Because when he was found not guilty, he went to a lot of churches, did a lot of photo ops for a brief period.
He put the dashiki on.
Scientology has done the same thing. They've connected with the black churches now. But then he was found. First of all, there's a huge civil suit against him.
Kwame, yeah.
Yeah, Kwame, sure.
Oh, a huge civil suit against Richard Scrushy.
And then he was convicted of bribing the governor of Alabama.
Whoops.
And he wanted these guys to represent him again.
Yeah.
And the black attorney who had gotten him involved with these churches, he was like, no thanks. You know, because he had seen what a phony he was. I'm sure he probably knew anyway. And the other guy was like, nah, I got my victory. I'm okay. And
great lawyer.
Anyway, he lost and he went to prison. And I don't know what he's doing
now.
But it was
disgusting. he's in the documentary. So
he's out.
A-okay.
But it was it's just nauseating when you see that. It's like, is there any justice in the world anywhere?
There's another twist, too, at the end. The black lawyer eventually got busted for bribery as well last year.
That's right.
He's now serving time. It was such a messy, messy story.
You know,
that's been a pretty good series of the trial by media because I didn't watch, but I listened to the entire episode with Jeffrey Feiger and
Jenny Jones.
Wow.
Did you like it, Brandon?
Yeah, no, yeah. I really did. I really liked it. I thought it was, and that was just audio. I didn't even visually see it, and I thought it told a good tale. And
yeah.
And Jeffrey Feiger is something else, especially in that he's
good, man.
Do we have anything for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
Well, if you want to call Mr. 10,000 Friend Guy back, because that was on our list of things to do.
That definitely stays on the list.
And on that note, Dan Evans did, because we were talking about calling back Rob Take 10K Friends. Because he told us, you know, his most famous person that he met was a YouTuber, but then one of our listeners found that he actually had met Lisa Ann, the porn star. Well, Dan Evans sent along that original Lisa Ann interview that we had that did not go so well, so we might tack that on the end.
Did you listen back to it?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
I haven't either. I know it was horrible.
I don't want to hear it.
She was such a bitch. Wasn't she just a horrible bitch?
Yeah, she's not very
well,
nice.
Well, here, let me see Dan's subject line. Let's see. What a bitch. Yeah, that's his subject line.
Yeah. Did you see that email, Drew, that the guy sent us? It's a really interesting email, but you got to kind of protect
the
anonymity of it.
I did. I saw this. I read this earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get into that.
That was a good email.
We also wanted to call the ex-girlfriend of, what's the Woody, Joubert?
Oh.
Got the huge penis?
Yeah.
Wardy.
Yeah, yeah. Wardy, yeah.
Wardy Joubert. And his mom, Wood, who also watched his porno.
Did she call us back?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I couldn't find the mom.
But David Hall and Hall Financial would love to refinance for you or take money out of your home if you're worried about liquidity in these very difficult and tricky times where people may have cash flow issues, or maybe your business has a cash flow issue, or maybe just want to refinance and save money with Hall Financial. That's what they do so much of, and they do such a good job of it, too. Just had a couple great success stories for people, too. They are really, really busy. So, I mean, They're working like dogs in these difficult times. And I feel good about the fact that there are people, fortunately, who are able to work and get stuff done. A lot of people are finding they can work from home. Mm-hmm. So what better time than now to lower your monthly payments? What better time than any time? But this is a particularly good time. And maybe skip a couple payments or lower your payment or shorten the term of your loan. Go to DavidHallMortgage.com/DrewAndMike. Or go to our webpage, click the Hall Financial logo, and get started. Or call 248-308-5000. Average 44 days to refinance, 19 days for Hall Financial. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention from Hall Financial, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 1467435. And Trudy, you want to take it away for Dr. Roche?
Oh, of course. Dr. Roche, by the way, they are open for business by phone for consultations. You can call Dr. Roche at 248-338-1110 because they're there to help diagnose. And by the way, you can zoom into Dr. Roche's office and they can help, you know, like look at your general complexion, see if you need BBL, or you can look online at droche.com and see some of the procedures that they have, like the Evolve bat system that is non-invasive. It tightens, it trims, and it tones, it trims your cellulite, and then it tightens your skin and tones underlying musculature. So it's like a triple threat to looking gross. And some amazing body sculpting that they've got going on, AccuTite, for delicate areas like the chin that you need tightened up, that kind of stuff.
I need that. Yeah.
You can call Dr. Roche's office. 248. You know what? That AccuSculpt thing that they showed, the AccuTite,
yeah,
the situation, the before and after, that's pretty impressive. Mm. So you should call them, Mark, if you want a little phone consultation, 248-338-1110. They're waiting for you. You can also glob up, like who does. Everybody should glob up.
I don't know
if we're all enraged.
Handle all that. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I can handle all that rage.
But that's what's going on at Dr. Roche's office. Stuff is still going on, and then they'll be able to take office consultations as soon as we're out from under COVID. So, and that should be what?
When we're out from under COVID?
More elective type surgeries.
A lot of stuff is opening up on Friday, right?
Yeah. So that means
in the two zones up north.
Oh, that's just the UP and the Northern Michigan area right now.
Yeah, did you know that the governor divided us into zones, into county zones?
Yeah, I did see the zones.
Yeah,
he got us into two Michigans.
Well, kind of feels that way sometimes, anyway, doesn't it?
Well, there's like eight zones,
aren't
there?
Eight zones, yeah, and six regions, 6 and 8 are going to be open starting this weekend. I think bars and restaurants are half full, but a lot of that's interesting thing is this Memorial Day weekend coming up.
Yeah.
And a lot of those areas are around Traverse City and people going up there. So, you know, and I don't blame people for wanting to get out of this area and go up there and do their thing. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens 2 weeks from Monday. See if there's a spike at all.
Do people up there want people from down here going there?
It's a great question.
I would think that from the economic standpoint, yeah.
If you own a bar or restaurant, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see some people come back. I mean, I lived in Traverse City, view of the bay, have to pay, no big deal. And when I was up there, the summertime, Jesus, I mean, from spring to fall, there's a festival every weekend. It's right. Just jam-packed. It's a great place up there. But in the winter, it's like a ghost town. So
yeah, that's a nice place.
I imagine they need that commerce.
They do, but they didn't want anybody bringing infection up there when it first started, like in March. They were like, stay away.
Well, yeah. I could see them having, you know, maybe tourists stay away, but you also have to understand that up in that area is, I mean, there are so many second houses and cabins that people are going to want to go to there. I own that sumbitch. I need to maintain it. I need to go up there and cut the lawn. I need to do whatever. I'm going up to my cabin and stuff like that. So you can't really stop those people, can you?
Oh, at the beginning, yeah, but not anymore. No, nobody's enforcing that rule at all.
There's two other people making trips to Michigan. President's going to be here on Thursday.
All right.
He's coming to Ipsy to the Ford plant because they've been making, I think, ventilators there.
Yeah,
so, that's right.
Know, little appearance there. And then the other one.
We had enough ventilators. Why do they have to be like, why do they have to get a cheerleading session?
I don't know, because the president's.
It's a photo op.
He's got cabin fever. Isn't that what he said? And the other person in town is the Texas hair salon owner. Remember that lady?
Oh, yeah. And this is going to be very productive.
I love you, Texas.
Why is she here?
Take a guess. I want her to guess because you'll figure it out. Why would the...
Oh, she's going to a rally.
Yes, for the
Carl rally.
For Carl, yeah.
They're joining forces.
Yeah, she put a picture on Instagram or Facebook. I don't know where it was. It says, bringing some Texas sass to Michigan to help 77-year-old barber Kyle Mankey. And she's at the Welcome Center in Dundee. Carl, yeah.
Wasn't Carl getting some crap from a neighbor?
Yeah.
Carl was getting a lot of crap from a neighbor.
For what?
The neighbor posted on Facebook that she doesn't see Carl as a hero because Carl's called the police on her a bunch of times. one being for a dog barking at him at 11 o'clock in the a.m., she added, and that he doesn't need money because him and his wife have two Cadillacs. So it's kind of, in a weird way, kind of doxing him, but, you know.
And she was mad that he was talking about her to his customers.
I had her
number yesterday's prep.
Do you want to call her?
Sure.
Oh, that's right. That's where I heard that. Randon Trapp.
Is this really, okay with this, with her just going out and saying, this guy is an asshole?
Let her say it herself.
I mean, maybe they both are.
Maybe.
I mean, we could probably hear Carl's side, and it might be a little different before we just blankly decide that, you know.
Yeah, but Carl won't take your calls.
There is the aspect, say you have a neighbor that you just can't stand, and next thing you know, they're being lauded as this hero, poor soul who's just trying to do, you know, whatever they can. I could see why.
I can't get that upset about a 77-year-old guy who likes working.
Oh, me neither.
And, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. It's against the law. I don't know what it is. He's not supposed to be doing it, and they took his license. But, you know, when you tell me that the big three are going back to work and that's safer, I have a really hard time believing that.
Yeah, but they've got masks and gloves.
Oh,
and
I know. So does he.
Temperature test.
But they make a lot of money for the state.
No, I understand that. But that's what I mean. There's a. But we were told that they're extremely safe, and that's why they're going back first. That's what Gretchen told us.
It's a lie.
And then in California, they said they're not opening the auto plant because it's one of the most unsafe places when it was Elon Musk. But then he opened up, and apparently they changed their mind. So now the barber, I want to mention this, the hairstylist in Texas who is working so hard and keeping her store open, she had people with weapons in front guarding.
That was cool.
That was so cool. Anyway, the story was that, you know, she's got to make a living because she's got bills to pay. So, but apparently she can afford to fly to Michigan to attend the drive. Maybe spend the couple nights.
Maybe she drove. We don't know.
well, still got paper gas.
You don't know. She could have driven.
I'm just saying.
So do you want to call the neighbor?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Hall Financial Hotline. Activating the Hall Financial Hotline.
Here's some of the things she wrote. She wrote, this narcissist who seems to think he's above following rules.
By the way, I did say that I thought he was getting off on this a little more than my comfort level.
He's turned us into every governing body imaginable in the last 18 years. He went so far as to call the puppy police because our dog barked at 11 a.m. This is a publicity stunt for his newly released book and the recognition because
he's written 10 books. It's not his first book.
He's got a god complex, according to her. He has a nice house. He and his wife both drive Cadillacs. He's also an author of multiple books. Her name is Candy.
Candy, yeah. Her main thing is he's just trying to get the publicity. He's just trying to get the publicity for that book. That's it.
Oh, no!
Oh!
You have reached a number that has been disconnected.
I'm sorry. I found that in like six different... Like I confirmed that over and over and over.
Hey!
I forgot to call it, though.
Are you a man facing divorce? You need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids. And during the pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know the men working on the front line may need to get divorced too. Could be anywhere, anytime, any guy. Call Adam, 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. And Luke Nowacki also... Is Marco was strong today?
Yeah, it was, baby.
The wrap up strong too. I was afraid it was going to come down by the end, but it didn't, did it?
I think it dipped down a little bit at the end, but it's still way up, damn near 1,000 points.
Is Luke not? He's not in the log today, is he?
He is now.
Okay.
I don't mind giving Luke extra.
No, I don't either.
Trying times.
Call Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748. Maybe the next time there's a big dump, maybe you'll want to enter the marketplace and hope you get a big jump like we got today. Or maybe it's just a strategy you're looking for, which is really what he does best, is come up with a financial plan. Or maybe you're looking to put the kids through college. Many reasons to call Luke Nowacki and his team at 248-663-4748 or email Luke at lnowacki, LNOWACKI at pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. And you can watch Luke on No BS News from last week, right?
Yep.
And Securities Investment Advisory Services off the Reliance Systems Corp. Member FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Systems Corp. Separately on other entities and our marketing names, product services referenced here are independent of Reliance Systems Incorporated.
Do you know what the market is off their high? Like how far it's fallen from the high?
I don't know.
Only about 8%.
Oh, from the high, the 29, 30,000, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it seems odd, but hey, I guess it's good.
Is that because of auto going back?
No.
I think the feeling is the economy was so strong before this that there's a lot of reasons to believe that it will recover. Although last night I watched 60 Minutes.
That's a big part of it. The other big part is Moderna has their vaccine results out and... they're very positive. I think it's phase two. So they're very positive about this vaccine going forward. So the market's like, yes, return to normal.
And
the chairman of the Fed
was saying that they don't believe it's going to be a brief, you know, the feeling at the beginning of this was, hey, we're going to flatten the curve. We're going to get back out there and no big deal. Well, we've been at home now for 7 going on 8 weeks because the curve didn't quite flatten as quickly as, I mean, I still don't understand why. But nonetheless, the point is they're not looking at something as brief as they were before. He's talking about the end of 2021, things getting better. So there could be some real pain for some people.
But what did you think about the part where they asked, so Scott Pelley was like, oh, how much money can you print?
As
and he's like, oh,
want.
Yeah, we can just keep it up, you know, and indefinitely because the economy is strong, but it'll bring it back if we keep everything monetized and keep it from collapsing.
Well, I don't, you know, it's funny when they say things like that, I go, well, why don't you just keep printing money and keep sending us money every week?
Because then people will start buying the wrong things or spending the money on the wrong stuff, and now you have hyperinflation.
Exactly.
But if people are spending it on their rent.
Most countries where they print lots of money, eventually money's not worth very much.
But a lot of those countries where they have that really extreme hyperinflation, like Venezuela, only are a one commodity type of country, like oil, where they don't have anything to back it up.
This sounds very nerdy.
Well, when we borrow money, I mean, we pay it back. We don't pay it back very quickly, but we do pay it back.
It's the safest investment you can make, U.S. Treasury bonds.
So, let's see. What else?
You don't get anything for them.
Oh, I was going to mention that I was watching the David Spade movie on Netflix this morning, The Wrong Missy.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I thought it was pretty funny. I was I didn't finish it. I watched the first 45 minutes, 50 minutes. I was had a lot of good laughs in it.
I've been pulling drops. I take
there
back.
There were some great drops.
Any assumption I had about the movie, I take it back from watching. I'm about an hour in. It's pretty silly and it's pretty formulaic, but the main female is really funny. It's the girl. I thought it was Chelsea Peretti when I told you that. That's
I can't remember
her.
Where I've seen her before. I know I've seen her in something.
Crashing.
Oh, that's right.
She was the wife in Crashing, but she plays a total nut job, blind date
really
in this movie with David Spade. And Spade's in it, and Nick Swartzen always makes me laugh.
Nick Swartzen's very funny in this movie.
Great. It's a good. I would recommend it, even though it's got like a 30 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Upload's good too. You got to watch that, Drew.
I don't think Drew would like Upload.
Drew will not like it.
What's Upload? What's the movie?
It's a series on Amazon Prime, and written by Greg Daniels, who was Conan's first writing partner at The Simpsons and out of Harvard, and then he did Parks and Rec and a couple of those type shows, and now he's got his own show.
And the premise is when you die, you can upload your conscience to a place like a virtual area.
Right before
where you
can
kind of live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so like Johnny Depp in that movie where he's the computer. His face is on the computer, but he's not.
Kind of.
He doesn't. Yeah. He's not, that movie's so stupid.
So
by the
dumb.
Way. Oh, my
so
God.
Dumb.
It's watchable. It's so dumb. It's yeah. Trudy, have you seen it?
What's that called?
Yeah, I think I have. It's not Johnny Manomic, is it?
No.
Charlize Theron is the female, and he's always watching her from the
screen. Oh, Transcendence?
Oh, my God. It is just so... Depp is just so stupid. It's so dumb. Oh,
all right. You want to guess its Rotten Tomato score, Transcendence?
Yeah. I'm going to say the audience gives it a 48 because Depp's in it and Charlize. I'm going to say the critics give it a 40.
Audience score of a 37, so you're a little high there. And the Tomometer for critics is 20.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
Wow.
I want to see what Upload.
It was watchably bad, I thought.
Does Depp have more bombs than he has successes?
Well, he was so broke for a while that lately, in the last 10, 15 years, it seems like he jumps on everything. And there hasn't been a ton of massive, massive hits.
Yeah, he's been tossing a lot of bombs on the pile the last few years, no doubt.
The Wrong Missy, that's the David Spade Netflix one. The Tomometer, care to guess? Audience?
Oh, they'll always shit on that. The audience, I'm going to say, gives it an 80.
55.
Oh, no.
Oh, 55?
Yeah.
Really?
Critics gave it a 34.
Ooh. The movie, you know, Tommy Boy got lit up by the critics when it came. Just lit up.
Yeah, those silly, stupid movies.
He was on Stern this morning, Spade was.
Was he?
Yeah. Huh.
His hair looks ridiculous in the movie. It's pretty
it
funny.
Does. Yeah. I know, that was a good laugh. Also, I saw another one. Believe it or not, I've found, I think it's three things to see on Hulu in the last week.
Wow,
which has got to be
you.
A record. Nobody's ever watched three things on Hulu
in
a
week. What a huge Hulu fan you are.
I watched the documentary. I didn't even know who these guys were. Bros or Bras? They're two twin brothers who had a band called Bros in the late 80s. They were huge in the UK. They were like a boy band phenomenon.
I never heard of this. Have you guys heard of it?
Uh-uh. I never heard of them. I had no idea who they were. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Brandon, do you know them?
Bros?
It's Matt and Luke Goss. They're identical twins, or they were identical twins. Now one of them is like got a shaved head and the other one doesn't.
Bros after the screaming stops?
Yes.
Is that what-
yes. Because the bros, these twin guys, they had a few hits. They had a string of pretty big hits in the UK. I don't think they ever crossed the shores to America, did they? That I know of.
This is their number one streaming one by a mile. Like, nothing else comes close. It's called Tell Me.
How can you tell it's number one by so much?
Because it's got 9.4 million streams, and the next one has...
Oh, on YouTube?
No.
Or you do Spotify?
A different service, yeah. I'm not impressed by your flash. I've never heard this. Your dark brown looks so
your path's engaged. This is not. Well,
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
They're young blonde guys, and the chicks loved them for whatever reason. There was another song that sounded a little catchier than that. I wasn't really into their music, what I heard of it. But
you're right.
The Luke Goss plays the drums, and I think he plays some keyboards and stuff. Matt is the big star, though. Matt sings, plays guitar, he writes the songs. And so, anyway, when things are going extremely well and they're killing it, and I think it's around the time Wham was out there, too, because there was some boy band competition. And for some reason, you know, because they worked them so hard, they were constantly touring, constantly putting out new music, and they had a string of hits, and then things started getting a little shaky, and the drummer, the one who doesn't write the songs or his lead singer, he quits.
Wow. On his brother?
Yeah. The brother relationship, that's maybe the best part of the documentary, is that...
I wish I know how to quit you.
They have a hard time getting along. I've always been fascinated with twins, so I was very interested in the story. Yeah, they got some real problems, and of course, you know, they're both very close to mother.
I don't even know how to deal with you anymore.
And there is some crying in the documentary.
What?
Yes, there's some crying.
What are they crying about?
The crying twins?
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's why they're crying. Here's why there's some crying. This isn't all the crying, but there's some crying because they're in a rehearsal, and one of the guys they're working with says, Matt says, "Hey, why don't we try coming in here?" You know, and the guy's like, "Well, I don't know because blah blah." And he's like, "I don't want to do this discussion thing. I just want to try it." And his brother, the drummer, says, "Hey, man, you know, can't we just keep this a little loose and, you know," and the brother, you know, then goes nuts. He's like, "You know how much pressure I'm under? We haven't even gotten to the vocals yet." Because he's the songwriter and the singer. And
jeez.
I know. And so there's some tears from that and the makeup part. I don't know if they had makeup sex. But.
Well, at least a makeup kiss, like a big deep one.
Man up. Stop crying.
Matt has a like a diary cam at his bedside.
Oh, that's cute.
He talks into at nighttime sometimes.
I gotta say, that's fucking weird, isn't it?
It was. The whole thing was kind of weird, but I thought it was very watchable.
Can't you just go to bed when you get in bed? Do you really have to tell all your thoughts to your diary cam?
I think it was for the documentary. I like to think that.
These dudes look like Luca Magnotta now.
Oh. Which one? Both of them?
Both of them. I mean, now. I mean, when they were at their peak, when they had that gold, you know, the golden blonde hair, no, not so much. But now they both look like Luca Magnotta. They just got this weird type of
they bone look structure. Very similar.
Bone structure. That's funny.
Boy, Brandon breaks down men so well. It was a porn star, pop star. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Their bone structure.
So... what happens is they're reuniting after all these years. Oh, and because they haven't played together in so long, they actually get a couple bookings at Wembley. Which is like, what?
They're that big?
Well, Wembley, the indoor Wembley, I think it is, which holds, I mean, that's 25,000 people.
There's an indoor Wembley?
I believe they sold out two shows. So that's what the whole thing is building towards. And it's, I thought it was fun to watch. I didn't even know these guys.
Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, not, you know, they're new to you.
They were new to me. And
indoor Wembley holds 12,500.
Okay.
Yeah, Wembley Arena is the indoor. Wembley Stadium is the outdoor.
Yeah, which is like 80,000.
So they sold 25,000 tickets for two nights.
So how was the performance? Did it go off well?
I'm not going to give it away.
It's come on.
Too exciting. I'm sorry.
No worry. You won't spoil it for me.
Did you fall asleep?
Oh, by the way, another crying moment was Matt wrote a song about their mother who passed away, spoiler alert, and he kept crying while he was singing it. He couldn't get through it.
That's not awkward for anybody at all.
Here, I have that. Especially I have that track queued up right now.
No woman ever measured up to the love of my life, my mommy.
I saw him crying.
Bros!
Imagine being the engineer, and then you have to go, that was a great take, Matt. A lot of emotion. Yeah. Can you do it again and not cry like a pussy? So you can record this, please.
Yeah, it was. There was some softness.
Buzzkill
documentary. I tried to watch it. I kept falling asleep last night. I tried to watch a Syd Barrett doc that looked really good. The part I remember, and then I woke up and I kept rewinding it, and then falling back asleep,
oh my
and then
God.
Rewinding, falling back asleep.
That's what I was doing with The Last Dance.
And then I thought, well, maybe if I put the Van Morrison one on, I'll watch it straight through without falling asleep. So I watch it, fall asleep, rewind, watch it, fall asleep, rewind. So I saw no more than 20 minutes of each one.
I hate that. Don't you hate that?
Yeah, because I like the Sid Barrett one a lot.
What part of Sid Barrett, though, did you get to? Like, did they ever explain why he, like, went away and never came back?
No. And that's, Trudy, at one point, I'd fallen asleep so many times, I thought, I'm just going to fast forward to the crazy part, because that's really what I'm excited for.
Yeah.
I just think it's always been alluded to that it was a mental, he had a mental illness. I mean, it just kind of opened up on him as he got older and older.
He was schizophrenic, which comes out when you're, like, in your 30s, I guess.
I don't think the taking acid every day can be excused entirely here, because it did seem to coincide with that. And that was it's really strange watching stuff from that period because, everything is new. I mean, youth culture is new. There was no youth culture until the mid 60s. I mean, kids had no power in any way, shape, or form. And all of a sudden, they're buying concert tickets, they're buying pot, they're taking drugs. There was no history of drugs either. Nobody knew. And Sid Barrett thinks, oh my God, I've taken acid. It's the answer to everything.
Cool.
I'm going to take it every day.
All right.
And, we now know that that's probably not a great idea, but I could see how someone could get swept up in it at the time. A lot of people got swept up in it at the time.
Maybe it worked.
I mentioned microdosing, by the way.
Have you watched the Have a Great Trip documentary on Netflix?
I've watched a little bit of it. I have not watched the whole thing yet, but what I saw looked pretty funny.
I thought it was really good. I thought it was really funny.
Should we call Rob 10K friends and inform him that he's got a celebrity among his 10K friends? Because he didn't know. He's got a porn star, a giant porn star with giant tits, and he doesn't even know he's got a famous person in his
midst.
Well,
he does. Does though, because if you read the write up, he talked to her for an hour and he forgot, Mark.
She's just a number to him.
I hope not.
Come on, he nailed her.
You think he did? You think he nailed her?
I don't think so.
What?
I think he nailed a few of those chicks though. He acknowledged he did.
He's probably in one right now.
Could be.
I'm looking for a song.
I'm going to check.
Ooh, you're my best friend.
Hall Financial Hotline being reactivated.
Like it.
They are so
God, I love you, Lisa.
If he doesn't answer, should we call his dad and let his dad know?
We could do that under the guise of trying to reach him.
It's a little narky, but maybe his dad knows.
My first love was a chick named Lisa Cohen.
I don't think telling his dad is narky. Telling his mom would be narking.
Did you guys see Ken Osmond died?
Yes, from Leave It to Beaver. Eddie Haskell, we should probably call him and ask about that.
Into the death triangle.
Oh, that's right. He's with Phyllis Charge. Hello?
No, that death triangle's closed, man. The Phyllis George, Fred Willard, and then the lady that took pictures of the Beatles.
Oh, Astrid Kircher died. That's right.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Oh, he's blowing us off. Just for that, we should call his dad.
Okay, let's call his dad.
You know he would answer his phone. I got some breaking news, by the way.
What?
We are ranked number 93 in the comedy category. Our first trip into the top 100 in about a week and a half. We had that crazy week. We reached
good luck with the imposter.
49, I think.
This is Mr. Lawless.
Is Lawless for real?
Yeah.
What's her name again? Lori Ann?
Lisa.
Lisa Ann.
Oh, God, I love you, Lisa.
Oh, Dad's blowing us off, too, now? He got the memo?
Maybe just... Hello?
Hi, you have reached 6-1.
Maybe he just found out about Lisa Ann. And he's doing some research.
Okay. Now, what about Jobert's ex?
Yeah, we can call her.
Heather? He's the one that has the wiener.
Mm-hmm.
That is
Wood. Wardy Jobert. He is the bait and switch meme that everybody knows.
Yeah.
And he went head to head with
Jonah. Head to head.
Yeah, he went dong to dong with Jonah yesterday.
It's disgusting.
Jonah Falcon.
But it's never been measured with a ruler on video. So if you have a bigger penis, it doesn't count unless it's measured on a ruler.
Even if that's an assistant producer behind the scenes in another room.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I've heard it from all the guys and every single freaking girl.
They want to try and take a ride on the biggest in the world.
I love how Jonah always tries to act like he doesn't care.
He's a Gen Xer. Hello?
Hi, hello? Heather. Is Heather there?
Who?
Heather?
Wrong number.
What?
Heather?
Wrong number.
Oh, wrong number?
Is this 756?
Do you know Heather? Dude?
Hello?
What can you tell us about the dong?
Wait a second. Remember, I was very positive in this. Hang on, let me double check. Make sure I didn't fat finger dial it.
Wait, Heather has a new boyfriend then?
he might not be a big fan of these calls.
The fingers you have used to dial are too fat. To obtain a special dialing wand, please mash the keypad with your palm now.
Balls.
Everybody watched The Dance last night?
Yeah,
oh, yeah. And to tell you the truth, I think episodes 9 and 10 were kind of weak. The worst, but... Yeah. Still, it was. I thought overall for a 10-part series that I was blown away it could possibly be that long. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good documentary.
I did too. I was surprised that I enjoyed it that much. And honestly, after watching it, and I've been on the Jordan train forever. When all this, oh, LeBron's better. I don't know how you can watch that and not see that Michael Jordan is.
Because he's an asshole.
He's in his own category.
Because he's a jerk.
I don't know. I don't think he's that big a jerk. I mean, it's not easy to be Michael Jordan.
I wish I could just be a limo driver that picks somebody up and all of a sudden I become their best friend for the next 40 years.
I got to say, Brandon, that's a good point. Did Michael Jordan have the lamest entourage? Remember he was talking about his entourage last night? It's like,
no way. He had that dude with the white perm. That guy looked cool as hell.
Talking about
that guy was weird.
He loved hanging out with old dudes. He loved golfing.
Well, the security guy that got cancer, who, by the way, did not look like a real security guy.
No, he seemed like a cool old cat.
But he was a father figure. After his father died, he was, you know.
No, I understand that. But you're talking about Micah Jordan, who, how old would he have been in 98?
36,
and his entourage is his former limo driver, now best friend, the curly-haired security guy, a 90-year-old black dude. And he, I don't know, it just seemed like a weird entourage that he referred to.
I didn't hold that against him at all. I think it shows that he was not a super hip guy. He was so focused on being the best at what he did and on being, you know, this worldwide marketed figure and make these stupid movies. And
but I don't buy that. I think that he could have been a hip guy. But the problem was he was so world famous, more famous than anybody in the entire world, that anytime he went out into public, he was swarmed. I mean, this guy had to close down he would have to shop at 2 a.m. and get Farmer Jack to open up just so he could get his groceries.
I don't think he bought his groceries, Brandon.
Well, that was a story that came out. Was he specifically had some supermarket stay open after hours so he could shop by himself?
I think someone made that up.
To shop for groceries.
It looked miserable when he was in that hotel room and he's like, this is the only silence I can get. And he's laying on the couch. As soon as he opens the door, boom, he's not just hounded by media. He's hounded by fans and pretty much everybody. He was a cultural phenomenon.
But you know, when he's in the locker room and you know, when he's passing those, he gets off the bus and he just wants to walk to the locker room. And these guys are like, hey, Michael. Blah, blah, and he says, look, man, can I just have a quiet walk to the locker room? I love you guys. You know, I love you guys. I mean, he's always kind of friendly. I think he tries more than I would expect him to.
Probably. You know who doesn't try and had great security was Dennis Rodman when he made his escape. When the media wanted to talk to him
how
about
how stupid that
coming,
was.
It was he came here. He came to the palace to do NWO.
I was blown away that within a 48-hour period he wins the ball game. Then he travels to Auburn Hills, misses practice during the finals, NBA finals, misses practice so he can hit Diamond Dallas Page over the head with a steel chair and party with Hollywood Hogan and NWO. Then he comes back, plays really well, wins the championship, and has Carmen Electra kiss the trophy. Holy crap.
Pretty sweet.
Unreal.
He's such an asshole.
Could you imagine if that happened today? like social media, and it'd just be such an annoying uproar, and there'd be pictures of him on the the whole way there, and I mean, who cares?
I think
Dennis Rodman had always had all his behavior excused up to that. Why is that any different?
It's not really. I don't know. I mean, I think that's it's interesting the dichotomy, you know, of all this horrible behavior that we see. I'm not referring to Dennis Rodman, but you know, social media, for example. I was talking about earlier, all the trolling and just the way people are just so shitty to each other and so shitty to complete strangers. And then you have someone like Hannah B, who I could care less about. She says, she's singing this song and she sings the N-word and she's on Instagram Live and it's like, you know, the world has to stop until Hannah B apologizes. And yet, you know, and just other stupid little, you know, what was the other one just the other day? Well, what's his name? Pat Sajak's tweet. It was like, Pat Sajak under fire for tweet. You know, and here you have all these people out there just being complete cocksuckers to each other on the internet all day long and social media and all this horrible shit. And then, you know, on the other hand, we nitpick people to death if they do the wrong thing wrong.
Yeah.
Even if they don't intend to. I don't know what she intended. I have no idea. I can't read her mind.
Going back to The Last Dance, the one thing that I never knew, the flu game is actually the food poisoning game. I mean, I had no idea. Was that ever out there prior?
I don't remember that.
I don't think so. It was a weird story.
He's such an incredible player, though. And you know, Pippen did not come up big in big games that often.
No.
I mean, he's got the migraine. He doesn't want to go in because he's not going to shoot. Then he's got the bad back.
Yeah, they knew Michael would carry him.
Oh yeah, he did.
Oh, my back.
And you know who are the guys he relies on? John Paxson, Steve Kerr, these little white guys.
I know.
And Luke Longley and Tony Kukoc. I mean,
Bill Wennington. Boy,
hey
Jordan only likes white guys.
But fuck's got Burrell.
Yeah, see, he's a racist.
Hey, I got to tell you, last night though, I really wanted revisionist history because for some part of me wanted to see little John Stockton win a title.
I know, that's so
weird. He's a good guy. I like John Stockton.
Isn't it weird to think that he was one of the NBA's best players, little John Stockton?
It is really strange. And
he was good in NBA Jam, too.
You know, Malone had some great games in that series, too.
Very underrated as an NBA player.
Yeah.
Malone was so good.
Who was the point guard that played for Phoenix that was so good?
Steve Nash. Steve Nash. Back-to-back.
You're going to say Dan Marley.
Back-to-back small forward. MVPs, right? Nasher?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was great. God, he was good. But I don't know. I think people tend to call that one team, that 95-96 team, the greatest team ever. And, you know, last night I'm watching the 97-98 team, and I'm going, that, you know, first it was Paxson and that first group, and they had Craig Hodges, and Horace Grant was great. Horace Grant was a big loss.
Another underrated guy, yeah.
B.J. Armstrong.
But they it was like two different rosters for the 2-3 Petes. And neither roster, in my opinion, was that great. Pippen was a great running guy. I mean, they were a great combination, no doubt. But I just felt like when it came to the big game and the big shot, it was Jordan.
Kukoc.
Paxson. Kukoc. Jordan.
It was funny that big shot that Kerr made to win that championship over Utah in game six.
Mm-hmm.
If I was him, I'd be like, why'd Kukoc have to make that dunk? Now we won by 4. It makes my shot look a little less.
Yeah, I got the steal there at the end.
It's kind of weird.
That was, you know, I
forgot about that steal and dunk. I just thought the game ended on Kerr's shot.
I kind of forgot what an incredible sequence that was when Jordan, they're down 4 points with 40 seconds left. He drives the basket, and, you know, that was when he's just not going to be denied. Makes the basket. Then he got the steal from Malone on the other end. I forgot that he got the steal.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
But wait, that's 4 points. How'd they get the next 2 points? Wait, am I missing a basket in there? Wasn't it a 4-point game or was it a 3-point game? Because Jordan made 2 2-pointers, didn't he?
God, I don't remember, Drew. I told you I was falling asleep.
Well, anyway, you know, he made 2 baskets and a steal in 40 seconds to win the game for the Bulls. It was fucking amazing. It was quite a sequence.
I'm wondering about his friendships might have been shaped by the fact that he was so competitive and there were other people who felt so, like, intimidated by his competition that he could be friends with people like the little dude with the white. Wasn't he an albino?
Well, you know, if you... Okay.
Who, Steve Kerr?
No, the friend, you know, the one that he was throwing.
Oh, the curly hair, yeah.
Yeah, the curly hair.
Woj, yeah.
I thought it was kind of charming that he had regular friends. I thought, what's wrong with that?
No, yeah, there's nothing cool. wrong with that, but I think that he's so competitive against people who are fellow basketball players.
If you want, your friends to be on the payroll, I guess.
He did like to gamble with Charles Barkley and Tiger Woods, if you remember, although Tiger ended up, of course, dropping out of that because he had to go to rehab. And he had to apologize to his friends and his family on TV.
When he referred to his entourage, it seemed like a lame entourage. That's all I'm saying.
It was not your typical entourage. No. Definitely not your typical entourage.
No.
But, you know, he gave the game ball to that guy when he came back from cancer. I mean, I just thought, I honestly, I said it before, I think he had great parents. I really do. Mm-hmm. He respected his parents. He didn't want to embarrass his parents. And I think he tried to stay out of trouble.
Episode 10 of The Last Dance was really, or maybe it was 9, I don't know, last night. It was really weird when it quickly became a Steve Kerr documentary for like a half hour.
I never knew his dad got killed.
Am I watching a Steve Kerr documentary all of a sudden?
I know. It is weird how the thing goes off track in these wild tangents, and then all of a sudden you're back. If you don't know the story, the way they go from 93 to 97.
That was kind of like that. That was kind of cool, but it was like all this focus on Steve Kerr because his dad was murdered in Lebanon. Yeah. But it was just like, oh, boy, what am I watching? Let's get back to Jordan, damn it.
You know, the one thing that was missing that I felt from The Last Dance, if you're going to go, and I guess
epilogue?
I didn't care, but you didn't see Juanita. You didn't see Yvette. Yeah. You didn't see any of his wives.
That was Michael's story. I mean, we saw his kids at the very end.
You didn't see Juanita.
But Juanita, you know, the first wife, didn't he have three kids with her?
I think so, yeah.
And Juanita was, she was very pretty.
So is his new wife.
The new wife is very pretty, too.
Pretty hot.
I think she's a little younger.
How much younger is she?
I don't know what happened with Juanita, honestly. There really wasn't a lot about that. I mean, I don't know. They got married very young.
I don't know. Everyone has been ripping on this documentary because Jordan was in charge, but I don't know. I found it very watchable and exciting.
I just don't think... I didn't feel like he held much back. I mean, okay, if he's in charge, if he's going to agree... Yeah, 10-part documentary, and I'll do an interview for it. Of course he's going to say, look, I don't want to talk about my wives. I don't want to talk about women.
Mm-hmm.
How can you blame him for that? He was not a horribly behaved guy. It's not like he has that much to hide, probably. I don't know what, I mean, he kept his private life pretty private.
Yeah, still.
I mean, to his credit, I got to give him credit for that. And, you know, there are a few guys that managed to do that.
Yeah.
Not many. And I thought they made a great point at the end of the game that Jordan became this giant worldwide thing with no social media, no need to tweet every 5 minutes or get involved in all these causes like so many athletes do now. And I don't know if that was good, but maybe it was better for Jordan because I don't think he wanted to speak out on a lot of things. He was a basketball player, and I think he was okay with just being a basketball player.
I really don't believe, by the way, and he was insistent on this, that, oh, yeah, they would have come back on one-year contracts to go for number 7. I think that seems like it's revisionist history because it was very toxic.
Well,
and Pippen, there's no way Pippen would have done it on a one-year deal unless it was a massive amount of money because he was so underpaid.
Well, they should have paid him a massive amount of money. And
they weren't going to have Rodman.
When the guy says, look, I don't care if you go 82-0, this is the last year. How else are you going to respond? And then all of a sudden they go, well, you know, Reinsdorf, hey, you won it. Sure, we got to get you back. And it's like, I don't think so.
Yeah. No.
Do you remember where Pippen went right after that, too?
Portland. Didn't he go to Portland?
Houston. And then Portland, and then
he got paid.
He played quite a bit longer, didn't he?
Till 04.
Wanted some money because he was so underpaid with that ridiculous deal.
Well, I think he made enough money.
He got the plane too. That was a bad move.
That's right.
He was not too good with his money. And
Larsa was a bad move too.
Yeah, Larsa Pippen. She was in the news today for some reason. I don't know what it was.
People were being mean to Scott. People were blaming her, I guess. Who knows? She was in the news because she wanted to be in the news.
Yeah, she was, and she looked really good. She was in a bikini, and she's 45 years old, and she looks fantastic. But. She said something about how she gave Scotty everything, or she did everything for Scotty.
Like, oh, anal? Is that what she means?
Probably.
Multiple partners?
I'm sure that's probably what she meant.
Probably what the reality was.
He's made a killing in his post-career, though, with cattle, which is weird. He owns a ton of... He's like a farmer.
Really? He's an Arkansas guy.
Seems like a very simple, humble
yeah,
dude.
I think he's okay. I think he's got some quirks. You know, he definitely made some mistakes. I was really disappointed in him. I'm not really disappointed in him. What do I
How
care?
How could you do this, Scotty?
The fact that he said, you know, he sat out the last 2 seconds of that game because Kukoc was going to take the shot. Yeah, he makes the shot. At that point, it should be, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry. And there's nothing else to say. But
Bill Cartwright cried.
Bill Cartwright. There was no need for him to cry either. Someone asks Pippen this week, Scotty, you know, obviously you look at that a little differently now. And Scotty says, yeah, I absolutely wish it hadn't happened, but I can't say I wouldn't do the same thing again. It's like,
what a dick.
Scotty, come on, man. Don't say that.
I have to imagine, too, after watching that, there had to be somebody on that team when Phil Jackson got the coffee pot and had him write down something, and Michael wrote his wonderful poem, and then they all put in the can and burned it.
Yeah.
There had to be someone on the team going, what is this bullshit?
I know.
To get all these NBA players who are multimillionaires, most of them, to write down their feelings and thoughts about a team so they could burn it in some seance. It just seemed.
You can't tell me that somebody, whether it's Luke Longley or Rodman, didn't show up. I didn't write anything down. I forgot all about it.
Yeah, well, there's no way Rodman was
can
there.
Can I copy off yours, Michael?
It's just, and I don't think Jordan's poem was very good, even though no one knows what he said.
No, and it's burned, so we can't know. We'll just assume it's great.
Gatorade, roses are red.
I got a message this morning that, hey, you know, since you've certainly had your issues with Facebook Live, and they wanted to say that they love Facebook Live for the reasons I was describing yesterday, because the people are hilarious. The drops of the conversations are really funny. It almost distracts from the show, to be honest. It's like, well, there's a whole second show on Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she said, with all your experience with Facebook Live, you've got to check out WJR, who is now doing Facebook Live. Like, in the last, I don't know, maybe what? Last.
Yeah.
I guess they haven't been doing it for very long.
Well, specifically Paul W. Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because it's pure Michigan time where they talk about tourism. And even though you can't go to these places, they're going to talk about them anyway because it's sponsored.
Now, that was today's live stream. Friday's live stream is just roundtable for Friday. Which one do you want to check out?
I think we should hear the roundtable for Friday.
From Friday?
Yeah. Today was... I was very amused by it.
And somebody who are these people? Steve Courtney.
Paul W. Smith.
Wait, he's not on here.
Well,
no PW.
You gotta have Paul W.
Yeah, so forget Friday. Let me go back.
By the way, watch The Crawl. There's a lot of sponsor mentions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the upcoming interview with the head of the...
Paul W.'s got a killer beard going on, man.
He does. They're teasing the interview with the Was it the convention?
Linda Hoff, the executive director of something? That's what's on the crawl.
Is that going to keep you listening to the station?
Can somebody? This is really funny, too, because, you know, we can put our name. You put your names underneath when you sign in on Zoom or whatever, you know, streaming thing. And so Paul W. says, Paul W. Smith, morning host, News Talk 760 WJR.
Oh, Jesus.
And then you have Ann's. That just says, Ann! I don't even know who that is. And then Dick Hafner, by the way. Could he turn his phone sideways so he fills up the whole square?
Let me see.
He's the only one that's not in landscape or letterbox. Right. He's just up and down. So let's see what's going
on. Such a great story. A great
the sound is terrible.
At the age of 14. Today, he owns and operates one of...
All right, so clearly they're playing something on tape, and you can hear Paul W. Smith go, is that the Open?
They are like the AM radio of Facebook Live.
They are.
Just listen to Paul.
Oh, also, I just want to say.
Paul gets really close to the camera and he goes, is that the Open?
I want to say this too, that WJR on Facebook has 21,000 likes. We have almost 26,000 likes. When we are a basement podcast.
An older audience.
How can they have only 21,000 likes on Facebook?
Somebody commented on there and said, when there's news or commercial, we just see your beautiful faces sitting there, to which WJR Radio replied, we need to work on that. We're worried with Dick talking. We might go on the air.
Dick talking.
They also they say something about the lag and that we're working on the lag.
Hey, I know how they feel.
Anyway, they got about 1,100 views.
That's not bad.
For a radio station that's supposedly the great voice of the Great Lakes. What are, if they're the great voice of the Great Lakes, we're the great voice of the world. Because we've got like 7 or 8,000, usually.
How do any of their listeners know how to get on to listen?
That's a good point. It is Facebook, though.
How old is
my
their
dad's
audience?
On Facebook.
I feel like I'm watching a radio station that is like for people 25 years older than me. I mean, that's what it feel like when I'm watching this.
Wait, it looks like Paul. Look, wait, let me back it up. Looks like Paul's having a little trouble here.
Yeah, looks to your right. You're right. What's that? Yeah, that.
A light?
Oh, it's a lamp or something?
Yeah.
Turn my headphones up.
Paul W's, I think
who can,
he's
who can listen to this?
I think he's upset at Anne because the left part of her square has got a light.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't and like so, the reflection.
So, yeah, he thought it was the lighting was bad. So she turns the light off and he's, well, no, I can't see at all.
Oh, my God.
It's so ridiculous.
It's funny when it's not us. I love it. Paul W., by the way, nothing in his background. That's kind of nice. Very humble man.
Oh, yeah.
What? There's nothing, no Emmys.
So, the complete roof yeah, it's a lamp. Little dark because of that lamp. Your current roof with roof back for an appointment.
You'll be in the dark. Put AM,
turn
AM
she's turning it off.
Yeah, you need some lighter.
666-914.
Or book an appointment online at...
He looks
gorgeous. Dana.
Wall Street Futures.
God, what's going on?
Our news in your radio.
Why don't I have sound?
Oh, boy.
There's insanity by the way, in the control room tonight.
Did they not know that you could edit the live video afterwards so it doesn't start right there?
I guess not.
2020 virtual tour Michigan.
Where's that coming from?
Where's that coming from?
There's a woman talking in my ear about something that has nothing to do with what we're doing here.
I guess they're just sitting there during the commercials.
He's
staring at the camera.
Yeah, he's kind of freaking out, Paul.
Your Michigan Board broadcasts are also sponsored by Shutter's.
And that's their audio, not ours. Messing that up.
Stop the hammering.
Great sound.
Oh, Dick Hafner dropped out. Oh, he's back.
Paul, why don't I have sound?
I think you're on, Paul.
Good Monday morning to you. It is the 18th of May, the 139th day of 2020. There are 227 days left in the year.
Oh. Trudy, is he ripping off the old AP machine for that? Because they used to always have that.
Is a gift.
Yeah, that doesn't like...
Nobody does that anymore.
AP machine?
I feel like
wow, he looks like a real pro.
I feel like we're listening to 1985 radio.
As well, with our video, live video, if you will. With our StreamYard broadcast, which you can find at wjr.com/.
I wonder if he, you know, when they go to a break, if he just throws his headphones against the wall and lets out a nice expletive.
So not only can you hear the broadcast,
didn't see anything like that.
At least for these first 45 minutes of our Pure Michigan tour, copycats. You'll be able to see all of us. That would include
45
Dick
minutes.
Kaker, our WJR news director, who just completed the news. Dana Clark checking traffic and weather, and our executive
producer. Why does a traffic lady have to sit there and stare at the camera the whole time?
Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
So people have something to look at?
I got so much sleep.
Because it's radio. They should not be doing TV.
Yeah, focus on the radio part.
15 hours of sleep each night.
Wow.
That was such a fake wow by Anna.
During the 50 days of straight broadcast time. During this pandemic, so it's good to be well rested. Of course, you know how Sunday night is. So I get all that sleep Thursday, Friday, Saturday, virtually no sleep.
Fake laugh.
So here we go. We have our day number one of our Paul W. Smith Pure Michigan tour. It's a virtual tour for obvious reasons. And people say, well, what are you doing? We can't go anywhere.
We're taking our sponsors' money.
In fact, that's what we're doing. You're right, right now. But each day, we're one day closer to being able to go somewhere.
That is pretty cool.
We want you to know about all these great places in the great state of Michigan that you can visit. Now, look, this is so bizarre.
And we need our sponsors' money.
Kim and I are supposed to be with our WJR listeners right now on a WJR Travel Club tour, Budapest to Prague.
Right.
Was that sponsored by?
He's thanking his lucky stars. He's not that thing.
A cruise before that. That debacle. But Kim and I got canceled. That was just supposed to be the two
He's
of
a
us.
Coronavirus
Vacation
winner.
Vacation time has been canceled.
So they end up having a guest on, right? Does that person like pop onto this video conferencing?
I don't know, Mark. I didn't get disaster? That far. I don't think that person's
this
on.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
I'm jumping in a ways.
I don't think they're on for a while.
Like oh, they're after. Sold out?
Yeah, I wanted one of the Monets.
And there's the Scream.
Janice, good morning. Good morning, Janice.
Hello?
This is so cool.
Oh, is it?
Pittsburgh, Kansas. Hello.
Hello, Larry. I was wondering.
Pittsburgh, Kansas. Hello.
Hello.
What's happening, girlfriend?
What's cool?
Oh, good morning from Windsor, eh?
He's got an echo.
So we can see people sending in messages as we go along.
Yes, it's very cool. They'll start joining us here.
This is exciting. It's like we're learning along with Paul W.
From the States, eh?
I gotta tell you,
they're just starting to do Facebook Live. This is like the first time they've done it.
And the best watching is gonna be during the commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lighting controversy was very funny.
Technology.
Typing really bothers him. Watch.
Who's typing?
Listen.
Morning, Scott.
It's our first ever virtual Pure Michigan tour, and the first day of the week where we are actually coming to you. Last Friday, the kids tried it out and it worked, and we're doing it today. It's only going to get better.
The kids, are you sure you're ready for this?
To us, but you can.
The kids are
boring.
WJR.com/Pure Michigan Tour
or Facebook.com/WJR Radio. And Ann says, Sign on, let us know you're listening, and we'll give you a shout out as we go along.
Ooh.
Like Jerry Coben.
No wonder Maz likes JR.
I guess it's okay to use
just gonna say that. That's how they train them over there, man.
See you, Jerry.
I tell you, the and content is the fabulous so far.
Is
to that point,
the famous video.
What is their content so far?
I have nothing. It's the Facebook address,
Hamilton.
Pure Michigan tour that you can't go on.
With my Hamilton book in the background. See there?
Oh, I do see it.
Oh, that's my Hamilton book. Beautiful. I have the soundtrack. I am Hamilton fan all the way. Can't all wait right, until Hamilton. It comes on July 3rd on Disney Plus.
That'll be interesting.
Remember I told you that?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, if we can only put drops into their broadcast.
Oh, it'd make it way better.
You would. To see Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Ann and I did when we got snowed in Chicago.
I was going to say he liked it too. Watch.
A year ago, right?
Yeah. Good morning, Demetrius from Columbus.
Good morning, Jim Bella. Jim Bella's tuned in already.
Hey, Jimmy.
So this is the part where they comment and they talk directly to the one or two people that commented on Facebook Live.
Which is almost no one.
Where the listening audience is going, what?
Did you know how few comments there are? You know how ours are comments are constantly coming? There are no comments.
What a non sequitur.
That's the lag. And then the engineer comments twice. And then nobody comments for like 20 minutes.
Oh, man. You need to throw up some comments there.
Oh, maybe I will listen live tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Do you want to hear the rest of Paul W.'s story about
Hamilton?
Yeah,
let's hear a little something about Hamilton.
But aren't they on?
Bev is on.
Hey, Bev.
Yeah.
Hi, Bev.
Nice beard, Paul.
Thank you, Jim, very much.
You had COVID-19.
You trimmed it up a little.
I trimmed it.
Story, Grandpa. It looks good.
I trimmed it, so it's. I think it's better. I wanted to keep it until I saw Kim. So until I saw
Kim. What the hell are you talking about?
Put product placement. This.
There you go.
Manscaping.
Yeah, what did Paul W. start talking about? Shaving his balls.
Yeah, so Memoirs of a Tortoise is about to be released this week, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
And Anne knows this because I sent it to her. I did a reading of the book.
I like turtles.
I'm just reading children's books. I'm figuring parents, teachers, grandparents, aunts, uncles like to read to their kids, and they should. It's very important. But
yeah. I honestly feel like if I fell asleep, if I Rip Van Winkled for 20 years, the best thing to do would be to turn on WJR and kind of catch up. For about 2 years.
For a while.
I'm gonna jump forward. Hopefully, I can find another break.
I talked about this, but couldn't show you, and now I can show you that somebody, and I don't have the information in front of me.
Can't show the listeners.
last
They're selling WJR face masks.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Well, we have Wheels face masks.
Do you really?
Yeah, because they've got filters in them and everything.
We've
too.
Talked about getting them because we've had the opportunity presented to us to get them,
yeah,
and sell them for right. the podcast. And
didn't it seem gauche when we talked about it? Just seems.
I don't know. I didn't like it.
Well, that was our first reaction, but then again, it's like
if everyone's doing it, then it's even more gauche.
Well, I was somebody I was talking to said
WJR's doing it. What does that say?
We did it first before them, by the way.
Oh, sorry, Trudy, I forgot you.
But you guys are giving them away, right?
No, we're selling them. Okay. Oh, wait, proceeds 100% go to Feed the Frontlines Detroit, including all the restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, you can mention the Frontlines. If you include the Frontlines in anything, you're a good guy.
A portion of our proceeds are going to go to the Frontlines, whatever.
Well, yeah, but Mesa is on that list, so.
Can we get a forensic accountant to make sure it all goes to the Frontline, Forkers, Trudy?
Sure, fine.
Stay.
Send your forensic account.
They made WJR face masks. The information is, did I put it on Instagram?
Oh,
I don't know where I have it. Do you have it, Ann, somewhere?
What's Instagram?
Put it on Twitter. I'll find it.
Oh, boy.
Us. Yes.
Please
so
find
it's a company that makes custom masks. And without us even asking, they sent us masks with the WJR.
By the way, Dick Hafer's been on this whole time and hasn't said a word.
Logo.
Paul all should right. get one okay. with the lower half of his face on it so that he can look like he just normal.
That's so cool, Trudy.
Yeah, oh my God.
I love that idea.
Where is, I want to, hopefully there. Oh, I think there might be another break here, maybe.
Everyone could have Paul W.'s beard.
For over 32 like years, that. A Cremation Society of Michigan has been providing dignified cremation services without the cost of traditional funeral.
And
is this an advertiser you really want to image with WJR, since the image is that their audience is already dying?
And is taking a picture of their virtual meeting with her phone right now on the screen. I presume to tweet it out.
For cremation information.
Let's jump forward again.
Most people working wouldn't even do this anymore because they've already zoomed so much.
Oh, Dick Hafer dropped out at one point.
Their plants starting today. GM, Ford, Fiat, Chrysler, all.
Oh, he's doing the news and he drops out during the news?
Any work point symptoms of coronavirus.
Okay, Fran, I'll pronounce that better.
People on site at the plants and they can give tests.
You are fake news.
To anyone showing any symptoms. They're all taking all the.
Okay, so what's happening? Dick Hafner's reading the news, but the other three apparently can talk to each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Just totally ignoring him.
You get the inside scoop, though. You know what's going on inside the wacky WJR studios.
But what if you're watching
the wacky WJR homes, I should say.
But what if you're watching?
If you're watching it for the news?
Yeah, live, and these people are talking over Hafer.
And more. President Trump will
go to you said it, Nick.
Rawsonville plant on Thursday.
Great pipes.
Morning, Norman.
Making ventilators at the Rawsonville plant.
Good morning, Norman. She said.
Drive-in and cold water is open. They're showing movies. Turnout was heavy over the weekend.
I think he's going to drop out any second.
Theaters,
yeah.
Including drive-ins,
I'm hearing Dick through.
Yeah, I'm hearing Dick right now.
Oh, he dropped out.
When Dick is on,
yes.
They should put Dick backstage. And then he can do his news and then come back.
Oh, Dick's back. Well, and he's gone again.
Yeah, I guess. But if we're not interrupting him or causing him any trouble.
Yeah, it would be nice for people to be able to hear.
Right.
Hearing him do the news a second ago.
Boy, you can tell how new this technology is to them.
Here with us. We're talking technical details because we
are virtually zero.
See, I will say I do admire the fact that they just said, fuck it, we're putting it up. Let's just put it up
and
we'll figure it out. No, I'm being serious. I think that's kind of nice instead of working out kinks.
Too bad there's only 1,000 views. But
they can't hear the cuts he's calling for.
Morning, Fran.
By the way, WJR's ratings are up substantially since COVID.
Oh, yeah. So Paul W. Smith there is worried about the sound and the technical aspect. And the other lady said, good morning, Fran, which is just someone that commented.
All right. Yes.
What a mess.
Hi to all the people who are commenting.
Could be your morning family. You're our morning family.
Fake!
No, they're not your family.
I think I better, like, go out and come back in. I keep going out.
Yeah, you keep
There's
freezing.
A woman talking in my ear about something that has nothing to do with what we're doing here.
Go back.
Thank you, Kathy McPherson. How do we
fake.
Read the whole line? My WJR Pure Michigan tour
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine.
You know, technology and stuff.
In Ohio to come up with plans.
Dick's back to doing the news again.
Texas had its highest increase in coronavirus cases.
All right, I'm going to jump to the end. Let's see how the end goes.
Canada, as it was in the United States, to just try to.
I've learned so much already. Really, I mean, the content's phenomenal.
They're all rearranged now, meaning that people dropped out and came back on. Oh, I feel so bad. I mean, I'm enjoying it, but I feel terrible.
They probably have three engineers, too.
That's a good, okay.
The engineers were responding to the lag questions.
I don't feel bad anymore. That's a good point, Drew. They probably have so many people working behind the scenes on it.
Very clever. I think it's only a matter of days that we'll see on national television the Pope squirting somebody with
some of the squirt gun.
That's a great idea. I'd line up.
Maybe not.
Get my bathing suit on and head on over.
Oh, no, please.
What?
I don't think that's what they're thinking, you know.
Well, I'm just trying to get maximum wettage.
Coverage.
Coverage.
Dana's getting wet.
You're talking about full immersion.
Yes.
Yes. They do that.
Don't mansplain to her.
Right. No one should have sat that chair after me. It was damp.
Hey, Brian said a holy water slip and slide. There you go.
That's what pajama pants are drenched right now, and they're not drenched with pee.
Hey,
I tell you, the banter is witty.
Say stuff like that.
Why not?
That's a holy water slip.
You know, it's funny. So I'm really focused on Dick Hafner here because he's a tough, tough laugh. He won't give a courtesy laugh out. But all that stuff about her getting wet, he's laughing uproariously at it. I'd like to hang out with Hafner. He seems like a good dude.
Tuesday, yes, National Visit Your Relatives Day. Excuse me?
What? I like this.
And National Cheese Souffle Day.
Gives a fuck.
I think he's got the prep sheets that we used to get 30 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess say goodbye to the gang until we get all these things worked out. But it's been fun, I hope, for our WJR listeners to be able to see us at work behind the scenes as we all.
I bet you my dad would get a kick out of this. He probably would watch the whole thing.
Twice.
Loves Paul W.
Does he?
Loves Beckham.
What's he like about Paul W? I'm just curious.
Oh, you want to call him?
Not really.
I don't really know. I think he's always listened to JR.
What's not to love about Paul W?
He's always listened to JR. It's just that
he's dial loyal. He's 760 loyal.
Very much so.
For life.
Mm-hmm. You know what he likes? You know what he loves about JR? You can go across the country and still get it in.
It's the great voice of the Great Lakes.
You can drive all the way to Florida and never have to change the dial.
That's why they've got 1,000 views, because their signal just goes and goes and goes.
Well, this is fantastic. I'm so glad we found this.
Maybe we can build up their numbers for them by checking it out every day.
Yeah, why doesn't everyone go comment on their live feed in the morning? Yeah,
why don't they critique on our Facebook live?
Yeah, they should.
I mean, fair's fair.
Hey, by the way, who's on AM 950 now that there's COVID-19 going on?
That's a good point.
Oh, they're doing really well, too, though. I mean, this is great for 950. The AM dial could not be more alive than it is right now. If COVID stays, the future of broadcasting could be AM radio.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's returning.
I don't, I thought with this thing that FM would do, they would adjust to be like updates maybe at the top of the hour just for 40 seconds or a minute or something. Maybe a newscast at 5 o'clock, but I don't hear anybody doing that.
On
FM? Soon AM radio will reign king once more.
You could really, if you did a good job with it, you could probably pull some people in who felt like, well, they've got me covered on this FM station too. Well, but maybe that's trying to serve too many men.
Don't other markets put their 950 on the FM dial?
Yes, some do.
I never understood.
It'd be a good time to do it, actually.
Yeah.
Because you could hook them now.
You could blow out everybody that works at one station.
Yeah, that's right. But I think the theory is, if we can make money on an AM, why would we move it to FM? Because we can make money on something on the FM. And if we
that would be
AM,
a good commercial for their product.
You could never build a new station on AM and make money.
No.
I guess.
Was great. I cannot really wait for tomorrow now.
I'm pumped. I'm gonna listen live. I'm gonna get up.
I kind of want to. What do you mean? Get up at 1:30? You mean go to?
I'm gonna get up at 5:30, and I'm gonna watch it live.
It's different than going to bed at 5:30.
I'm gonna comment. I'm going to see if I can get Dana to wave to me.
Make sure you put a wave emoji.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
All right, get us out of here. Emoji.
Alrighty, let's see.
Covered our bases. I was sad about Astrid Kircher dying. I mean, she's 81. But
you told me on Friday, you're like, Astrid Kircher. And I said, who's that? And you just look pretty dejected.
I wouldn't expect you to know her. She's one of those, you know, I mean, I hate to have to point out once again how large the Beatles are, but this is a woman who took pictures of them when they were 17, 18, and they got to Hamburg, mm-hmm. where they played like 10 hours live a day. It's where they really honed their skills. And she took pictures of them, and those pictures were worth so much money eventually.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
And she cut their hair. She gave them the famous haircuts they had when they came to America, which was all anybody talked about. Oh, my God, their hair. Especially my dad. He didn't like it. And
the bowl cuts?
I don't know what you call them. Beetle cuts? Whatever. But she was really involved in, she was very into art and fashion, and John and Stuart had gone to art school, and Stuart was the bass player that Paul was constantly hounding because he was so shitty, and he was John's buddy from art school. Well, Stuart loved art more than music, and Paul knew that, and that's why he was so pissed, because John wouldn't give him a hard time. Well, Stuart fell in love with Astrid, and when they got kicked out because George was only 17, Stuart stayed and went to art school in Germany and was going to marry Astrid. They got engaged, and then Stuart got a brain hemorrhage and died in her arms in the hospital.
I just had a reverse Jim Price Jr. Like, wait, fell in love with that. Was she like 81? Obviously, she's 81 now or died at 81.
Yeah, she was older than them then.
Yeah.
She was a photographer and artist, and she had quite a career, actually. And they stayed friends with her.
Interesting.
But Stuart was the love of her life. She never got over Stuart, I guess.
Good story.
Sure made her husband feel great. Anyway,
who cares?
We'll see tomorrow. Exactly.
She's on the phone.
Yeah, she's in town now.
She's landed. She's in
Lisa route somewhere.
Lisa Ann.
Hi there. I'm standing outside freezing so I can talk to you guys.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How you doing?
Oh, it's been a rough one. You know how it is. Flights get canceled and things get hectic. So I'm all right. Standing out. It's pretty cold here.
Yeah, it's freezing. Where are you coming from?
It's freezing. I only came from New York, but it just so happened with the temperature, there were some flight delays. Two flights got canceled, and the next one was delayed, and now I'm still standing here waiting on bags.
Well, thanks for calling in.
No worries.
Now, how many people recognize you, Lisa Ann, when you're in a plane or in an airport? Do a lot of people come and go,
absolutely,
oh, I'm a big...
Absolutely everybody, which is why I have to stand outside to talk on the phone.
Oh, really?
You hear my voice, it's the last. It's a, like, if they're... They're already staring at me, trying to steal my bag, trying to take pictures of my ID that's on my bag. They're already doing all of that. That's why I'm bummed that I can't be inside getting my bag. But, yeah, it's everywhere. So,
and what percent,
you're meeting me here in a second.
And what percentage of guys just automatically hit on you?
A large percentage.
Yeah.
What if they're with their girlfriend or wife? Will they not say anything?
Is this really the best question that you came up with?
Whoa.
Oh, geez.
No, I was... If people recognize you, I just figured...
Hi, I'd like to ask you about... And now, if their aunt and uncle is with them with a niece, is the third party involved? I mean, no, I don't know. I don't detail it that much. You don't make eye contact. You try to walk through without interacting to cause any sort of inconvenience for people in the workplaces. You try not to do photos because people at the airport get upset over that, and airport security gets upset over that. And you just try
to get upset over doing a photo? Really?
Well, you can't. You're not supposed to do them in the airport. People get really freaked out by that.
Maz, why don't you ask her a question? She doesn't like my line of questioning.
Well, we love that you're on with us here, Lisa Ann. Welcome to town.
I'm sorry. I had so much to cover yesterday with all the trades and all the just amazing things that are happening right now in the NBA.
How do you like that trade for the Pistons? They're getting Reggie Jackson here in town.
You know, it's interesting. The kid has his moments. He was great for Oklahoma when Durant was out, when they really needed him. He had some clutch games, you know. He was getting a pretty good scoring average, but he doesn't stay healthy. He's never really had a full season, and he's injured again right now, and I think it's even harder for a player to get healthy when he doesn't get to have a home where he gets to really acclimate himself to the teammates that he can learn from, to the coaching system that he can understand. You know, when these kids move around, they have to learn a new playbook each time, and they have to adapt to a new family almost. And from what I hear from some players that make a move after the third or fourth time, they say it becomes very difficult to plant your feet and get too involved in the coaching system because you're afraid you're going to get moved again. So I think they all bite their nails the night before a trade deadline.
Wow, that was a lengthy answer, Lisanne. How about Pistons? Now, you like NBA players. NBA players like you. How about Pistons? Do you have any history with people who may have worn the Piston uniform?
As you know from all of the articles that I've been interviewed for and all the writing that I do, I never name names. So we just like to say that there's somebody everywhere. With all these trades, you never know where one of your players is going to land.
Well, I'm not asking for names. Just okay. Go ahead, Mark. You try.
What position? What position on the court is your favorite position to date? The guards, centers?
No, you know what? I like to mix it up. I mean, the centers are just monsters. So yeah. It's great to have a center once in a while because when you're with a center, no one notices you anywhere because you're with a guy that's close to 7 feet tall and he's just stared at all the time. So it takes all the pressure off of you. But then you get a guard and you get a little bit more agility and they can fit in places better like planes. I mean, when you take a 7 foot tall guy somewhere, half the time you're worried he's going to hit his head. So it's an interesting dynamic of being concerned for them all the time.
Have you ever thought of maybe a whole starting lineup once?
What do you mean?
Well, like a center, power forwards, swing man, shooting guard.
But you never know. I might have 10 center lineups.
Oh. And then the sixth man comes in.
You never know.
The sixth man? Where's the sixth? Mark, where would the sixth man go?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Do you guys know tonight I'm at Alley Cats in Windsor?
Yeah, we've been talking about it.
I'm with you guys at the Toy Chest in Detroit. Neither places have I ever been to, so I love to scope out the girls at a new club. I'm a big people watcher, so now that I'm just hosting, I get to watch the girls, and I kind of watch them work the room, and I see what kind of guys, how they interact with the guys. You know, some girls are like, really dance a lot, work really hard. Then other girls find a way to just like, sit on the guy's lap and talk to him. And both girls are making money, so I always find it fascinating to pick, like, you know, which one's going to be the one that just gets to sit on. Like.
Well, it's funny, because you were also a talent agent, so what do you look for? I mean, are you scoping out girls to take it to the next level, and what do you look for?
I retired from all that. I'm just full-time in my sports career now. Yeah, I host events.
What
about
did you look for?
Maybe then? Once a month. You know, it's really just attitude and fitness and their ability to understand whether they want to have a short-term or a long-term career. Because that plays a pace on what kind of scenes they're going to do in the beginning because you want to pace out the things that they do. So it's kind of like meeting a girl and saying, do you have any plans? Are you doing this for fun? Is this just a lifestyle? I've met girls that I've helped just pay off their student loans, and then they quit. You know, they just wanted to make X amount of dollars. So
yeah,
it's all about where someone's head at.
I thought it was interesting in the GQ article you said that, you know, you like sex. That's why you do it. But you've seen too many girls that just do it as a job, which
exactly.
Which ruined the whole fantasy for me, Lisanne. Thanks a lot.
Well, you know, if you think about it, if somebody's in a situation where the money can come faster than the amount of hours that they have to put into something else, I mean, the MILF phenomenon really took off right after the economy crashed, and a lot of moms, like real moms, not just like the girl that's called a MILF like me, real moms came in the business to make money and
Sweet.
Took care of their families that way. So it was an interesting idea. They didn't stay. They came in and then they waited. They worked on getting their other jobs again. But it did have a nice little influx for it.
Hey, Mark, what was the article that we both read?
Was GQ.
It the GQ article.
GQ
okay.
article, I believe, yeah.
You went on at length about, well, you didn't go on and on about it. You're talking about how guys, whether NBA guys or whoever, they can never take you out in public, and you seem like you were fine with that. And I thought, that seems...
Well, you know, you got to respect people's endorsements and scenarios. I mean, everybody has a job, and everybody works for somebody, and if that somebody has some sort of judgment against someone else as a person, and I'm going to be... They're going to get caught in the crossfire, then I don't want that for anybody. I wouldn't want that for anybody in any situation. You know, it's funny. If you go back and watch the movie Private Parts with Howard Stern, it kind of covers it because at the beginning of being a shock jock, there were people that didn't want to be around Howard. And he learned to accept that, and he really maneuvered to make it the biggest part of his success. So you can't get wrapped up in the small stuff. I respect where they're at in their life. They have 5 to 8 years to make an incredible amount of money and hopefully put themselves in a direction where they can be in broadcast or they can be in sports management.
But you don't want to be with some guy that'll take you out to dinner? Or, I mean, that doesn't bother you to never go out in public. It just seemed like it was something that was just out of reach completely. And I thought, well, of course, there are plenty of guys that would go out with you, but maybe not NBA guys with a lot of endorsements, but sure, there are some guys.
Well, But that article was only about NBA players. I have tons of other guys that I date that take me out to dinner, yes.
Okay.
And take me all over and take me on vacations and do everything, yes. But I'm respecting people's careers, that's all.
Were you surprised with the whole Justin Brent thing, how much that blew up?
No.
No, not at all? I mean, is it just because he was 19?
It was because he was 19. He goes to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So I mean, he can
enough for them.
But he can see who he wants and
with other.
He's a single guy.
Yes, he can. That's why he didn't get in any trouble for it. But our media just loves to sensationalize fantastic things that are worthless. And people like myself get to make a ton of money off it and live a great life. So I love every minute of it. I know how to work every angle and make it happen for me, and no one gets hurt.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has a problem with it at all.
Does it get confusing having all these guys in your life? I mean, it seems like your phone must be must be very busy with your phone, put it that way.
I am very busy with my phone. You are correct. But no, it doesn't. I manage it really well. I've been doing it for years.
Lisa Ann is in town. She just got here. Are you still outside freezing?
I am, and I would like to go in and get my bags if you don't mind.
No, it's fine. Lisa Ann, by the way, is in town for tonight and tomorrow night. Tonight at Alley Cats in Windsor, and tomorrow night you're at the Toy Chest?
Yes, I am in Detroit.
And let's see, Sexiest Girls in Detroit, guaranteed. Doors open at 7 tomorrow night at the Toy Chest for Lisa Ann. And tonight again, Chatham Street, east a block away from Caesars Windsor at Alley Cats. Lisa Ann?
You know that I was willing to talk to you because I stood out in the 3-degree weather to have this conversation. You can tweet with me at The Real Lisa Ann. I look forward to seeing everybody this weekend. Thank you so much. You can hear me on Sirius Monday night, Sirius 210, XM 87. Have a great weekend, you guys.
You too. Bye.
Well, that's a businesswoman.
Whew. Yeah.
I was going to ask her about fantasy football, but I was afraid.
Oh, yeah.
She intimidated me.
Somehow I feel like I wasted 10 minutes of my life.
Yep. Next. Should have heard her yelling at Joey in the hallway.
Seriously?
Yeah. What?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, then don't
she was busting Joe's chop.
Busting you for what?
She totally took my text the wrong way. I just wanted to know if she's going to push it back, what general time was that she was thinking, and then she thought that I was pressuring her too much, and
what?
How she had a hectic day, and how she was telling me about how her flights were delayed.
Fault?
Yeah, and I was in my text very clear.
Mm.
Like I
can't read your text?
Yeah, absolutely.
He said, we're off the air at 7. She's like, oh, I don't know if I can make that. And Joey was like, well, we really want you. You know, we've been promoting you, blah, blah, blah. And I heard him.
Everything he should say to her.
Exactly.
Whatever.
I gotta tell you, when she got on her windy diatribe about the NBA, I could not have spaced out more.
How about when she had what's his name? Kevin Durant, not Russell Westbrook.
I know.
And she said Reggie Jackson's injured. He's not injured.
I know. Well, whatever.
We're off your
sports. I love that you're taking exception to our sports.
Shows no sports.
What time are you thinking? I can't do anything. I get my bag and get to the hotel. It will be before 7, I hope. Not my fault here. 1, last-minute interview. 2, airline delays at the airport since 9:30 a.m. Please be patient. I'm doing my absolute best here. No worries. We definitely still want to talk. We just have to move some other things around. Text me when you get settled. Thanks. Let's do it now. I'll freeze outside and hope no one steals my bags just to get this off.
Oh.
Off my back.
Off my back.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And then I called her. And to say, hey, listen, you know.
Not a big deal.
Not that big of a deal.
Well, if she doesn't want to do it, it's not a big deal.
Well,
I mean,
she's like, no, I want to do it. I'm like, you sure you want to do it? Yeah, let's just do it now. It's easy. I was like, okay. All right.
Jeez.